youth and disabled persons on the presidency budget vote number one. It was considered on the 1st and the 8th of June. Members, are you happy with that report? No amendments, nothing. Can we ask for the adoption of this report, please? The Honourable Andrew has adopted this report and we need a seconder. The Honourable Faith has seconded this report. Therefore, the report is adopted and passed. So thank you, Honourable Members, for coming in and allowing us. Please, Members, before you do go, those that assisted us in adoption of this report and Minister, please just sign the register. And then thank you very much for your presence here. Proceed with the meeting. The business before the House today is the Department of Transport, where we should have South African National Taxi Council. I'm hoping that you are here. Are you here? Oh, thank you very much. I'm welcome to our committee. Then thirdly, we have the South African Rail Commuter, I think it's Metro Rail. Yes, they are present here as well. Thank you very much. And then fourthly, the South African Bus Operation Association, the interpreter's mistake, sorry about that. They have sent in an apology, Nerissa, members, did you receive copies of the report from the Department of Transport? Yes. And from the bus association, yes, and they have sent that in, okay. If you are ready, or before I hand over to the presenters, the reason as to why we're having this brief on transport, many of our members here are disabled ourselves, and we do experience some challenges when we take public transport. Last Friday, just to inform you, we did go and visit the OR Tambo International Airport to see how accessible transport, and especially how accessible transport is for members with disabilities and for the public out there. That report will be coming later, and a full report will be given. So we're basically looking at our public transport, how accessible is it for people with disabilities, especially the bus, the trains, as well as the taxis. And this, in the event, this meeting will now lead up to a public hearing. So we will be inviting members of the public who are disabled, various organizations who represent people with disabilities, to come and have a public hearing in October and to come and talk about their experiences and the challenges that they are going through. The whole aim is to look at accessible transport for members with disabilities and the public out there. And that is the whole brief or the reason behind this meeting and presentation today. So, from Metro Rail, we have documents, members, in front of us. We did get the documents. This is the documents that we received from Metro Rail. We have Mr. Ina. Please, I can't pronounce the surname because I cannot see it at all. I think it would be best if you would just present yourself and introduce yourself to us. That would be best from Metro Rail. And then just explain to us who you are, your position in the company, and then you can go ahead with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, members, for this opportunity. My name is Enos Nguchane from the South African Rail Commuter Corporation. As you know, the South African Rail Commuter Corporation is the agency of the Department of Transport that is responsible for Metro Rail. I'm the group executive responsible for operations compliance within the SRCC. We would also like to take this opportunity to thank you very much for the invitation to to come and give you a presentation and to give you the status of what we are doing as the South African Brain Computer Corporation in terms of the special needs passengers. As the SRCC, we took the initiative, Chairperson, to develop a policy for special needs passengers. Seeing that the system itself, in a number of ways, the station that we're utilizing, the rolling stock that we're utilizing, is not disabled friendly. But, as we said, the policy has been developed, the guidelines have been developed. We are redeveloping some of the stations where we are busy installing the lift shafts. We are busy installing ramps on some of the stations. And in terms of the guidelines that we are developing, the guidelines themselves, we'll be looking at a number of aspects that are important in making sure that our system itself is disabled friendly. We are going to be looking at the access to the station, the bridges, the platforms, lighting.
Sorry to interrupt. I see a hand up, Honorable Gamidi. I'm sorry about that.
No, I just wanted to check if the presenters have been timed.
Yeah, I'm just opening my computer. I'm going to put it on the screen.
No.
Yes, I will be watching the time, and members, I will be giving you an opportunity, and I will say, members, I'll be watching you asking your questions. I think so. I will be watching the time. I am Honourable Elizabeth, and I have spoken about the time, so I will be watching the time and keeping time. Please, presenters, just be aware that many of our members need to leave because by 12 o'clock to catch flights out. So I think please just focus on the important issues and keep to the issue at hand, which is accessible transport, so that we can give members opportunities to ask some questions as well afterwards. So just watch the time, please, presenters.
We'll be looking at the aspects that the police want to take on. We'll have the guidelines are looking at
making sure that the system and the operation tunnel that we're using is accessible to the disabled and disabled friendly. Therefore, we've developed a policy that focuses on what the FRCC is committed to do. The guidelines, as I'm saying, are the guidelines that are also concentrated on the aspects that we need to change in order to make sure that our system is disabled friendly. Now, let me take you through the outline itself of the presentation that I'm going to be giving you today. First, we raise the question, who are the special needs passengers? What is the prevalence of the special needs? What is the legislative background? As you know, there is a legislative background in this country, or the legislative framework that supports the process of making sure that our systems that we utilize are disabled friendly. What is the response of the SRCC Metro Rail in this aspect? The concept of total service. What do we mean by total service that we need to present to our users and passengers? The chapters of the SRCC special needs policy, fundamental premises, and the four key areas for improvement, and what is the level of the facilities to be provided in order to make sure that our system is accessible. The proposed priority network and identification of key stations, where are we with this project and where are we taking it to? Then what are the timelines? Then I'll stop there and open the floor for discussion. Now, the first question that we raised is that who are the special needs passengers? And here we are saying, in terms of the Moving South Africa document 2020, the action agenda has identified special needs passengers as your life cycle passengers. And those are your normal life cycle stages. But when we talk about special needs passengers, we tend to concentrate on the disabled, right? But it also includes children, it also includes pregnant women, it also includes passengers that are having friends, those that are carrying luggage, it includes the elderly, it also includes foreigners, for example, who cannot speak our language. Have you been to Japan, for example, as members of parliament? I'm sure you've been there. It's not difficult to travel around here, right? Because everything is written in all those signs. And therefore, we believe that even those foreigners, therefore, are part of special needs. Impaired passengers, those are the physical and cognitive impaired disabilities. People who've got special, you know, needs, for example, for assistance, those on wheelchairs, the deaf, and the blind. Those are the people, for example, who could assist us, and we make sure that they access our system. The sign is passengers, user for reasons of literacy, age, and lack of familiarity. And I'm giving you an example. When you go to some of these countries, because of lack of familiarity, therefore you are a special needs passenger. Okay? So those are the three major categories that have been identified by Moving South Africa. Now, in terms of what is the prevalence, the census of 2001 states that there's about 14.4 potential special needs passengers. Of course, this figure excludes the temporarily disabled, those who are disabled because of road accidents and illness and all those kinds of things. This estimate, for example, represents about 32% of the South African population. Of these, it is estimated about 2.3 million, which is about 5% of the South African population, are people with impairment. Right? You can see that is a quite staggering number. The prevalence in this area says by the FRCC can assume, therefore, to be of the same order. We believe, therefore, as an organization that provides transport, there is a need for us to provide transport to the special needs passengers. Therefore, we need to make sure that our system itself is accessible. Moving then to look at the legislation that exists. First, we start with the Constitution itself. Number two, the Land Transport Transition Act, Act number 22 of year 2000. The Promotion of Equity and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination, Act number 4 of 2000. Therefore, that framework is there that compels us to make sure that we protect the rights of the special needs passengers. Now, we are saying here that the burden of proof lies with the respondents. In this case, ourselves as the FRCC. If I'm taken to court, right, by a person who cannot use the system because of all the difficulties, the burden is on me to prove that, yes, I am concentrating on this thing, I am doing changes on the station, I'm making sure that the rolling stock itself, the trains are accessible. Okay. Looking further, we are looking at the policy framework itself. The policy framework has got those four categories. The Moving South Africa, the Action Agenda, the National Land Transport Strategic Framework, the Integrated National Disability Strategy, and the Draft Short-Term Accessible Transport Strategy of October 2005. All these documents support the need for us as transport providers to make sure that our system is accessible. Now, what is our response as the FRCC? In response to the legislation and the policy that I've already mentioned, we've prepared a national policy with respect to the special needs persons. And we've prepared a report on the status quo and the adequacy gap within the National Commuter Railway Network. We therefore understand that there is a gap that we need to address. We've prepared regional implementation plans for Durban, Tshwane, Western Cape, and the Visa Test Run. I'm going to show you an example of those and all the stations that we've identified as the stations that we need to redevelop and retrofit in order to meet the needs of the special needs passengers. We've initiated this project, we've taken it through the workshops, and we are also talking to a number of stakeholders, including the Office of the Status of the Disabled in the Presidency. Right? We are talking to Mr. Godibe in terms of how to take the process forward, who are the other stakeholders that we've got to talk to in order to make sure that we meet the needs of the special needs passengers. We've prepared the guidelines, as I've already said, that are covering a number of things that we need to change in the station. Your ramps, the platform, the relationship between the platform and the train. In some of the areas the platform is here, the entrance is so high. Those are some of the problems that we need to address. The lighting, your window tickets, so that you lower them down, they are not supposed to be as high as anything. So that anybody, whether I'm on a wheelchair, I can be able to access that ticket window. Now, what is the concept of total service? We are saying a total service is one by which each passenger is provided with all components that they require to make their journey with ease of access, comfort, and dignity. Total service concept requires the public transport system to be accessible to any independent traveler. Anybody can move into the system and travel with ease. Therefore, we need to make it a point that the total service can achieve some of these requirements. Full accessible station facilities. I've laid some of the copies, which I'm sure they're distributing, on the concept of a total service that we are now busy developing. We are busy building two new stations on the line that we're extending to Khayelitsha. We are making a point that there's a ramp, there's lift facilities, there's CCTV. Lenkakhe station and Mandalay that we redeveloped about 2 years ago are now easily accessible. You come next to the lift itself on a wheelchair, you don't have to press anything. The person is seated in the CCTV can actually see you. Then you can start talking to each other. Then the doors open and you are moved into the station itself. So these are the concepts of the new stations that we are developing and the ones that we are going to retrofit. We also have to concentrate on the rolling stock itself to make sure that the middle pole of the coach is removed, right? And all your grab poles that are so high are lowered for the purposes of people with special needs. We are looking at that. We also need to make sure that we train people who can provide assistance at the platform level. Currently, we're training a number of platform marshals, right? Who are also assisting the driver and assisting the guard to make sure that the train, when it pulls out of station, everybody has moved into the train itself. So those platform marshals will therefore be utilized and be trained to assist people with special needs. Okay? We also have to concentrate on accessible and active passive communication. Right? You use your public broadcast at the station level. You also come with passive communication, such as pamphlets, for those that, you know, can sort of read those pamphlets and utilize them at that level. So communication also becomes important. Now, the FR60 special needs passenger policy acknowledges the access requirements of the special needs passengers. And therefore, we are saying, yes, we need to provide universal access over long term through incremental improvements. Our system, as we say, currently, some of the stations do not provide that accessibility. But over long term, with funding, we are in a position of changing all that. We need to provide universal access. We also need to make sure that SRCC recognizes that the implementation of the bus will be restricted within the commuter rail services. It is a long-term plan that will need budget and also has to come up with a program of implementation. Now, what are the fundamental premises? As I said earlier on, special needs passengers need to travel independently. They need to have ease of access, right? We also need to have partnerships through the office of the status of the disabled in the presidency. We need to develop priority networks that can be identified. Like here in Cape Town, as you know, the city of Cape Town has got what is called a dialect help, right? As a person who needs that, you can sit at home, you can dial, it can pick you up and bring you to a particular station which is accessible. Therefore, you can access our system. So we need to work with all spheres of government, provincial, local, to make it a point that our public transport is up to speed when it comes to special needs passengers. What are the key four areas of improvement? The first, number one, is passenger information. We are saying both active, dynamic, and passive information through appropriate communication, the media, aiming to achieve the following. The confidence that the journey by commuter is possible, assessment of options available, determination of course for the journey, in travel related information available throughout the journey, and feedback from the passenger. Right? As a service provider, we also need to get that feedback, right? From those who need our service to say we cannot access our service, your service, because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That feedback is important in that. So we are saying passenger information is critical. Station facilities, I've been talking about those, that all facilities owned and used by the SRPC to be incrementally developed over time. Yes, our system is not user-friendly. Therefore, we say we need to change it incrementally to provide access to the special need passengers. Number three, bridging the gap between the platform and the train. I've already mentioned that. That problem is a problem that we are addressing seriously. Through screening, as you know, the machine that screens the line, it lifts the track, right, in order to arrange the alarm, those stones under the track, right? Once it lifts it up, it puts those stones on it, it arranges them, the line goes up, okay? That is why the station, you find the gap opening up. Now, we are coming with a solution that in all the stations, don't put ballast, but put what is called tubular track, which is built on a concrete. Therefore, you don't need to lift it up and arrange the stones underneath. It's permanent, so that when your train comes in, it is aligned with the platform. Then it becomes easier to move in with your wheelchair. Okay. So these areas of bridging the platform and the train is number one, which is critical to us. Right? We are now concentrating on making sure that all the stations, no balance, you put your track on concrete. We'll address that as we go. Rolling stock, as I said, I've also talked about the issue of making sure that we bring in international best practice in terms of the requirement of the special needs passengers. By coming in there with a wheelchair, you can lock it so that it doesn't move around. Your grab hold are lowered. We've got all those designs that we want to put in place when we refurbish the coaches to make sure that they meet the standards. Now, looking at the identification of different levels of facilities as agreed upon by the South African Federation Council on Disability, there's about four levels. It's level zero, it's level one, it's level two, it's level three. Level one is a facility that is not suitable for use by a particular group of special needs persons or is not available for use. Number two is a facility that is suitable for use by a particular group but has some restrictions on the usage or some assistance or assisting or whatever is required to provide the service. Like if you take some of the stations that we have, they've got a lift, you can go through the platform itself, but the gas is going to be a problem. Therefore, in that case, you need a platform marshal to come and assist you, make a point that the door is closed, and give a right of way to the train driver for the train to move. So that's level one station. It goes down to improve level two, and you go to level three. You can look at it at the document itself. Level three is the one that is fully accessible in terms of communication, in terms of your platform, in terms of your bridges, in terms of your ramps, in terms of the ticketing windows, in terms of lighting, and in terms of other needs that might be experienced by our special needs passengers. Okay, I'm not going to take you through a lot of those explanations. Now let's look at some of the priority networks that we've identified. This is our network in Cape Town. Right? Your central line, your Simonstown line, all those lines have been identified. Now, what have we done in that respect? We've identified specific stations that we are going to be utilizing as stations for special needs passengers. Some of them have got the list already, some of them have got the ramps, like the Woodstocks, like the Mandalay, like the Lentechiers, and the two new ones that we're building in Khayelitsha right now. They are all going to be fully fledged stations that can be utilized by special needs passengers. Right? These are the stations that we've identified. As you can see, the strength is so much like Stellenbosch, Rijfontein, Pau, Khayelitsha, Nolundile, Filipi, Yanga, Bontejevel, Neutral. All those are therefore the stations that we need to develop. Some of them, the local authorities, where you've got those green trials, local authorities have already provided access in terms of the intermodal system, where buses come in and chassis come in, and the station itself is accessible. So working together with local authorities,
we are now beginning to address those needs. So that when you wake up in the morning, you look at this man and you say, okay, fine, dialect here, you can drop me here, then I can connect through the station up to Cape Town, where I can utilize the station which is accessible to the special needs passengers. So we've done this with all the regions, but I'm going to show you two. Let me show you the best one, which is around Joburg. This is the network in Joburg. We've outlined all those networks from Schwerenachen to Davidson to the Lava, Mirala, Intendisa, to Naledi, to Rampantane in the West Rand, right? Then identify the stations themselves that we are going to utilize for special needs passengers, right? As I said, these are green triangles. That's where local authorities have already made the point that there's access, and we're working together to make sure that we concentrate on the station itself to make it a point that the station is accessible. So those are the stations. You can see those blue dots. We've got about 35 key stations in the whole of the Witwatersrand in Joburg, including Roodepoort, Schwerenachem, Midrand, up to Soweto, Lerala in Tembisa, and Sebuke. Right? So these are the two I can show, but I can also show you the Pretoria one if you want. I've got it in the system. Now, the process, as I said, on this workshop is that the special needs policy itself will need to be workshopped with specific stakeholders. We start inside with our senior management at SRCC, the Department of Transport, the major shareholding in the SRCC, Commuter Forum. We are discussing it with the Commuter Forum in Gauteng, in Western Cape, in Devon. Provincial local authorities, as already mentioned, local authorities and the regional metro rail operation. Collation of written comments has already started. We are also talking to the Office of the State of Disabled the Presidency to give us a list of other stakeholders that we can target in other areas. And I'm sure this committee can also assist us to say, have you talked to so-and-so? Have you tested this policy with so-and-so? Have you tested your guidelines with this type of an organization, right? So we need to do that. Therefore, that will finally be presented to our Board of Control in December this year for approval. Once it has been approved, we will require more resources to go and retrofit all those stations that are not accessible. We have to address all of them, more especially the ones that we selected in all the regions. Okay. The SRCC Metro Rail project also concentrates on those design guidelines. The guidelines are massive. It's a thick document like this that covers all aspects that will address the special needs passengers. But we are saying as SRCC, this might not be enough. There might be some of the things that will be left out that we are not aware of. Therefore, we are going to make to the point that the draft is available to all those stakeholders. They can have a look at it. They can make comments. It will also be taken through the same process. Senior management within the organization, the Office of the State of the Disabled Persons in the Presidency, Department of Transport, Gauteng Province, KZN, local authorities, and finally presented to our expert. This is a schedule of what we've been working on. As you can see on the policy itself, it is going through the DOC currently for review. We've received some of the comments. We are still open for more comments. The guidelines, we want to make sure that the guidelines themselves are concluded by the end of this year, right? And we have a pack that can be utilized by us at SRCC to develop the station and to make it a point that our operating panel is accessible to all South Africans. Okay, I'll end up here with my presentation, Chairperson, and open for questions.
Thank you for your presentation. Members, I will give 20 minutes for questions and answering session so that we can go through all the presenters today. I see Comrade Bongani, Comrade Andrew, and then Honourable Member Moss. Thank you. And Honourable Member Cody, thank you.
Honorable Don Gandhi.
No, thank you very much. Now, firstly, I would like to really welcome the presentation from Zach. I must say it was a very mouthful presentation. However, I must have questions and comments about this particular report. I think we must appreciate the committee and people of South Africa that at least the train is moving. It's moving. That our people for so many years, you know, they have been faced by obstacles in terms of unaccessible, you know, inaccessible transportation in this particular country. On all these beautiful plans, there's something that is missing for me. One, you have marshals, you're going to have ramps, people are going to be put in the train. What happens when the train is moving? Inside the train. So is there any security inside the train? Is that security trained well to mend people with disabilities? So what are the challenges in that moving train? What about the security there and other related matters? Two, the schedule or the timetable of trains. In these plans. Train arriving after an hour, the train is highly overcrowded. How is it going to be accessible to those people with an army of marshals, even they are there or not? The train is overcrowded. How do you deal with the situation?
For people with disabilities.
Sir, you spoke about Diana Kerr. This is my first time. I was born in this province, and I think I will die in this province. It's my first time. Those cabs that we're talking about, are they themselves accessible to people with disabilities? Because you can send a Toyota, and then a person won't be able to access that Toyota because it's unaccessible. So there are those who cannot move from the, out of the wheelchair. So how do you deal with the situation? Your plan. I just want to ask why your plan is concentrating on three provinces. Because when you spoke there, you spoke about Gauteng, you spoke about Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. You did not speak about other provinces.
The last that
in times of accident, what happens? Because you said a person for an example with a wheelchair, so there will be a place where you clean, not you clean, or you watch that wheelchair. So if the train now is on fire, that person cannot move. If I don't know what is that name in English, when you put something here, and then you clink it, what is it?
Clamp
it, yes. If you clamp a wheelchair, and then because if you're in the flight, there are people there in the flight, they can assist you in times of accidents. They open things for you, or they explain that you can open this part and so forth. Are these things also going to help? The last one, you didn't speak about the Gau train. You didn't speak about the Gau train. I'm not sure whether it's a rumor or reality. You said all the stations in Gau train, but in terms of the Gau train, the rumor is saying that every second or third station it's going to be accessible for people with disability. So people must go to a particular station that is accessible for them than all the stations in terms of counseling. So I'd like to, for you to explain that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Andrew.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, Chair, I'm not usurping your role, Chair, but I just want to acknowledge the presence of the Disabled People South Africa representatives here today. An organization who has a long history of struggle for the cause of disabled people to advance its members and the disabled movement in general. I must say, Mr. Amos, this is a very welcoming input that you have made. It's very impressive in terms of the policy that you have developed and that you wish to consult on with the key stakeholders. However, I must say, Chairperson, as a disabled person who have been disabled my whole life, literally, and also knowing that South Africa stands out amongst many nations as a country with the most progressive and relevant laws that advance and acknowledge the rights and dignity of disabled people and indeed put policies and legislation in place to indeed religiously pursue a better life for disabled people, to end the discrimination between disabled people and what is called non-disabled people. You indeed have made a reference to a number of very strategic legislation and policies. What is saddening, Chair, is that this important policy that you are busy now comes 13 years after our democracy. Our integrated national disability strategy is 10 years old already. Chair, our constitution is 12 years old. And you are now, at this point, only completing a vital a policy. I say this is the one area of great concern. Indeed, we welcome, yes, you made mention of a very two important stations that have been transformed to by and large meet the needs of the disabled people, and you refer to Mandalay in particular and Lentefier. We certainly know that the provincial government has spent millions of money to ensure that two stations indeed become disabled friendly. But clearly the provincial government of the Western Cape is not happy with the fact that yourself hasn't completed what you were expected to have done in that particular two stations, especially a chain. Now, Comrade Bongani have raised a very important point, and I certainly hope that the rumor is not true that every third station will be fully, comply with universal access provisions. Because when we speak about every alternate entrance or facility is enabled accessible, then that is a blatant discrimination against disabled people. That is an act of negating the principle of universal accessibility. We certainly would want to take issue with the department when the department comes out, because we, in terms of the taxi recapitalization program, the rumors there about every 20th taxi that would be disabled accessible, it's a problem. Because we do not want a scenario where a disabled person must deliberately travel longer distances to a station that are accessible to him or her, because the nearest one to his or her house is not accessible. That is a problem. We have heard last year, say, a one disabled person here saying to us that he has to travel to the southern suburbs. He has to pass three stations, travel three stations beyond the one that he should get off. Because the one that he's supposed to get off, there's no ramp. He cannot get off there. So he has luckily a motorized wheelchair. So he has to travel to the nearest one that is accessible. And that certainly is not on, it is unacceptable, a chairperson. I want to raise the issue of the officials, your conductors in particular. Now, I've been informed of an incident at the East River station where a disabled person in a wheelchair boards the train every day. And he has made some kind of acquaintances with the conductor and from time to time, actually in most cases, they allow him to travel in a compartment where the conductor or nearest to the driver. So the reason why I do that is exactly the point that Honorable Bongani has raised. Because the trains are always completely full. There's no place to sit. So there's no wheelchair. So he goes into that kind of a compartment, of course with the blessings of the conductor, and then he's able to reach his destination. However, we know that it's not the same persons or officials that is always on the same trains. Now, when there are different people, they just blatantly refuse, and then he is inconvenient. He cannot board the train because the train is completely full. So you have to wait for a train that is virtually empty in order to travel safely. And in doing that, he arrives late at his work, and indeed, he is losing money because he's being, in a way, money is being deducted for arriving late. And indeed, he stands a chance of losing his job for continuously arriving late at work. So those are the kind of challenges that disabled people face on a daily basis. Because your dignity, your right to work, your right to education are all dependent on your ability to move from point A to point B. You've mentioned the issue of dialing a cab, which is an actual dial a ride. Yes. It is a program in this province run by, in partnership by the city of Cape Town and financially supported by the Department of Transport and Public Works. A system that actually falls way, way short of meeting the needs of disabled people. It's not a cab, it's a bus. Indeed, it's a fully accessible a bus, but it's very limited. It costs tens of millions to ferry 150 disabled people on a daily basis to their places of work, you see. So, and we as DPSA have negotiated with the Department of Transport and Public Works to increase it, which somebody honorable a match was part of that particular delegation. But the fact that there are 10 million rand increase now means only that 40 more people will be able to be accommodated, taking it from 155 to 195, and it's way, way short, Chair. The issue of the marshals, yeah, that is something that is welcome. I think it's a very, very important thing, Chair, and a very important development. One would hope that the South African Rail Commuter Corporation will see or link that to the National Youth Service Program that we have. And indeed, train and employ hundreds, if not thousands, our youth in this particular program. The key question, of course, if you are saying that they are already in training, how many are in training and where will they be deployed? Those will be a very, very, very important thing. Just lastly, Chairperson, or last two questions is how many of the current stations that you have indeed comply with level 3 criteria? How many are at the level 3 at this current moment in time? And indeed, when one looks at your timeline, you spoke earlier about consultation with the disabled community, but in terms of your project schedule here, there's nothing that speaks about that, with the exception of the issue of stakeholders. One could perhaps believe that could be there, but in the disabled people movement, there's a very, very important saying: nothing about us without us. So the critical question is, if you have made good plans, to what extent disabled people being part of that? Put it differently, are disabled people employed by the South African Rail Commuter Service? And where are they, at what levels are they? Are they at the level that they can, in actual fact, influence decisions that are made, policies that are made, or are they employed at the level where they answer the switchboard? You see, because at the switchboard, you have absolutely no influencing powers at all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Angel. Honourable Mark?
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you. I think I also need to commend the presenter, Inos, for a very good presentation. I serve in the portfolio committee for transport, Chairperson. And one thing I always say, this portfolio committee is one, this Department of Transport is one department that discriminates most against disabled persons. Because when you talk about transport, public transport, then it's almost non-existent in the country. The CEO, Lucky Montana, once made the presentation to the department, to the Portfolio Committee of Transport. And the point I made to him is that I know him as a fighter for the poor, as a fighter for the vulnerable. But when it comes to accessibility to the trains and all the railway lines, he agreed that there is one train they still need to do a lot in exception, that very little has been done. But Jefferson, I think the presentation that we are getting is encouraging. It's encouraging, and I think Comrade Bongani, when he started, he pointed many shortcomings. Now Bongani is a disabled person, but he's been bombarded and he has experienced the cry of the disabled person. I think the Chairperson, Comrade Andrew of GPSA, has said a lot. There's not much I can say. Maybe I can only add 2 points. The total service concept, I think, is a very good point, because people tend to think it's only people in wheelchairs, people who are blind, people who are deaf who are making use of transport, and they are the only disabled persons who use transport. I think the fact that we included other people who might be temporarily disabled, and which brings the figure to, I think, 30% of the total population
we tend to say 10% as a disabled person. I think the point that you are stressing there is that much more people than only ordinary disabled persons are making use of facilities that is suitable for disabled persons. The final point I want to make, Jefferson, when, I know it's a long process, but by when can you for safely say that all patients will be level 3? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Faith, thank you, Jefferson. I'm going to be short as compared to Andrew. Although Andrew is short in size, I am taller than him, but I'll do the other round. Jefferson, I won't go much except to say, just to find out if maybe there'll be identified coaches in a trade for special people with special needs. In this instance, well, because I'm a woman, I speak for pregnant women and women with babies. You find others that will take their babies maybe to, you know, places nowadays, they also offer aftercare and the macrosis. So you find women that will take their babies along to work. And whether there will be special entrances at a station, you know, where even signage will be clear to say a ramp is this side or a lift is this side. And I think the presenter was correct. If you go to overseas countries, it's all written in their own jargon, and you find it difficult. It's only in London, I think, where it's almost all languages, even in French, they're able to read the signages. And then also wanted to check if maybe there will be, besides your platform, Michael, people who will give assistance to people. You know, like visible people that the minute you walk into a station, you see this person, I can ask information from. Because you find you will walk through a building not knowing where to go, not knowing whom to ask. Everybody is in a hurry. There's no one who is willing to wait and listen to what it is that you want to ask. And also the stations that have been identified, I noticed when I come from Gauteng, about 35 of them have been identified. Maybe some state chairperson as a committee will need to visit some of these stations just to see for ourselves exactly what it is that the presenter was talking about. My constituency is in Orange Farm, Stratford Station, but I must tell you, it's not accessible. Even when it rains, there's mud in front of the station. Even now, you are afraid even to come close to the station. And it has got a lot of steps. Then I've got big hips, I can't climb the steps. So I always look for shortcuts, Jefferson. So I avoid Stratford Station, Jefferson. And then also, I think, still linked to the issue of overcrowding in stations, because you know, many people actually use stations. I haven't been to a train in a very long time. I'm going to confess. Not because I drive a car, but it was sometime in 1990. It was this railway strikes, you know. And unfortunately, we have a mumbles in our villages, a parting. We were at the station, there were no tickets, remnants, or people were selling tickets. Unfortunately, they walked in, and the land was. In the process, people were trying to run away, we tripped, we fell, you know, it was, you know, in a car, they would say it's a car pileup. I don't know what human beings what would call it. So that was the last time, I think I was traumatized by then. I've never been. It's stampede, yeah, with cars, I said it's a car pileup. I've never been in a train since then, and it's like, each time I see a train, and people say, I'm going to a train, I just fear for them, like, how do you survive in a train? So maybe time I need to go back again to the train, then I'll be able to know what it is, how it feels like to be in a train, and also to see some of these things that the presenter was talking about. I've only been to overseas train stations, and they are so friendly to use. But in South Africa, so if they can be that, those special coaches, I ask if there's going to be special coaches, so that then, in Stockholm, let me use example of a Stockholm in Sweden. It trains even when it stops in a platform. There's over your PA system,
And also, it's written in words, Yafunda, this train that has stopped, Iyamupi. And even when you're in the train itself, you get into a train, you get settled, the train doesn't move, you are still trying to find a seat. You all sit down because in each and every coach, there is somebody who makes sure which people are seated comfortably, their bags are stowed, Kashela, Panate Zulu, or wherever, or under the seat. And then each time the train stops at a specific station, even in the train itself, it tells you which is the train in a city station. But with other in South Africa, but in Zimbabwe, here the station is. If you're not familiar with some of these stations, you may end up passing even your own station. So if there can be that improvement also in trains, so that the train simply talks to you. You don't have to ask the other person who might be speaking a foreign language to what you are actually talking about. I'll pause there, Chairperson. Thank you. And maybe now that with pregnant women, to have special care, but only in a man, you know, seats. And you find they are being pushed by men, not like any teaching.
Would also include women's trams as well. I must say, I'm a regular user. I use the train almost every day. So I think, from a train, you need to go with me, and I should show you how to use the train system. Honorable Gamidi, thank you.
Thanks, Chen. I'll reserve my comment on faith being shorter than. The first issue, and I'll also not dwell on the premiums because that's important. The first issue is, to me, assisted passengers and disabled passengers are two different issues. Assisted passengers and disabled passengers. And I'm not sure on the brief what was said. I see now some of my colleagues are even talking about pregnant women. We do have a community, James, that is monitoring on women and so on. But that's the issue. The main concern is accessibility of this mode of transport for people with disabilities. Number two is, you know, meeting the legislative requirement should not be interpreted as, you know, as if it's doing a favor to the disabled community. It's the law, which means if you don't meet that requirement, you're in breach of the law. It doesn't say from 96, because there is a provision in the Constitution that is about accessibility to transport. If you haven't done that, that is to imply. Which, in simple terms, that hasn't been done. The law has been breached. One other legislative requirement that has not been mentioned is the building regulation. Because you talk of a train, but it's secondary. A person has got to go into what is called a platform. Right. So when you build those platforms, it just got to this. So this requirement has not been mentioned. And I don't know why. So before one enters the train, it has got to go into a structure that is built. Is it accessible before you go into a train and to the station of the train? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable
Chalmers.
Thank you.
Just one very short question. Looking at the time frame, and it was a very impressive presentation, thank you. I must say I have learned a lot. But I just wondered, people are traveling every day, they traveled yesterday, today, they'll be traveling tomorrow, Monday, there'll be a huge crowd again. Is there any way to fast track some of these plans and guidelines and putting some of the more essential aspects into practice? For instance, having a train or two train marshals on every platform where it has that has been identified, and in every single coach. I mean, jobs are needed and skills must be matched to people's requirements. And this is one requirement that I would say would be absolutely essential and paramount. So I'd just like to know, can you now fast track some of the absolutely essential needs of disabled people in terms of travelling. And secondly, I mean, I come from Port Elizabeth. What's happening there? What's happening in East London? What's happening in Craddock? You know, the other smaller towns tend to be neglected in this sort of planning. Thank you.
Honourable Bongani, I see your hand, and then I will, another Bongani, and this will be the last round of questions. There will not be another opportunity for asking questions. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Promote. You know, Mosawa Chairperson, when people are dancing, she also joins in dancing because she can see that people are moving. But when the music is off, she cannot notice that the music is off, up until people stand still. Now, I want to relate this to trains. Because some of the disabled people, particularly those who are deaf, some of them did not have assistance. And then we cannot notice that the person is living with a disability. So that person is rushing for a train. And the apartheid trains, they were blowing whistles when the train is going to move, to alert people. They didn't care about those who are deaf. So what will happen in this particular train? Because I'm thinking about that particular question. You see, that, is that system going to be there to alert everyone to see or to understand that the train will be moving now or it will be stopping? Thank you very much.
Honourable Member, right at the back. Thanks, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair Pepin. I'm sorry that I came late, and it's the first time I'm able to attend this meeting because my other committee clashes all the time with this one. Chair, just looking at the presentation, and I must say that I'm impressed. It's like love at first sight. The one thing that seems to me missing, and I'm not sure whether it was mentioned before I came in, is the cost factor to all of these plans. And to what extent are the cost factors also going to be transferred to the commuters themselves? Thank you, Chairperson.
Over to you with all the questions, and I think just keep to the question, the point, just answer each question, and I know it's a lot of questions, but if you can just keep to those questions, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the members have said a lot of interesting questions. It really gives me a lot of confidence in the committee and also to the members that they were listening. I'm happy. Bongani, let's start with you. Thanks for those questions that you've raised. You've raised the first question, for example, dealing with the issue of security. As you know, security is one of those issues that we are battling with in this country. What we have done as RAID, since 2002, I took the initiative myself as a group executive responsible for operation compliance within RAID to approach the National Commissioner of Police to say, National Commissioner, we need to introduce the police back into the system. It was on the 4th of December, just before we closed. You know what the National Commission said to me? Said, Enos, you are right. It is the responsibility of the police to protect commuters, be they on buses, be they on train, be they on bicycles, or walking towards the station. So I said, National Commission, therefore, what are you going to do? He said, give me a chance. We will be preparing a cabinet memorandum to make it a point that SAPS is reintroduced. I can tell you now, Bongani, SRCC has invested 160 million in the building of police stations for SAPS within our system. 4 years in Cape Town. We've got a facility at SAPS station, Cape Town station. We've got a facility at Richards. We've got a facility we're building in Belleville. We've got a facility we're building in Philippi. Of these four facilities, each one of them will have 138 constables
and 21 cars, right? So that police are able to deploy along the line. The central line they'll deploy from Silipi. In each and every train, we'll have constables. In each and every coach that we are going to assign for people with special needs, police will be there, and the people that are going to be assisting in uniform will be in those coaches. So you can see that in terms of security, we are not talking, but we are investing. 160 in the past 2 years. I'm moving now to the second phase of building those contact points, right? We'll have 24 of them countrywide. We'll have 3 in the Eastern Cape at Mount Root and East London Station in PE Station, right? That program is going to expand to include the new Motherwell line that we're going to be building in the center. So the program itself of security is working. So far, we've deployed 1,200 constables in the system. Here in Cape Town, the total, when the whole plan is done and complete, we will have 535 constables operating in those 4 police stations and making a point that our system is safe. So we are dealing with that. And you also talked about the issue of training. Those individuals that will be in those assigned coaches for special needs will be trained, and they will be in uniform, and they can be identifiable. Number 2, the scheduling of trains, yes, is a big problem, because the number of trains has reduced. Cape Town, for example, Cape Town is supposed to operate a total of 93 train sets. But we are sitting now at about 75 or so train sets, because most of those unsafe ones, we've withdrawn them, and we're busy refurbishing them and rebuilding them. You've seen the new trains that were introduced. So we are bringing them back into the system again. So overcrowding will be a problem. Scheduling will be a problem because we are running fewer trains. The train that I used to take at 6 won't be there, but at quarter past, there'll be one. So we communicate and inform everybody to say, guys, don't rush to the station, because your train is going to leave now 15 minutes later than the one that you take. So we're battling with that. We must accept it, that overcrowding will be a problem. But for special needs, those trains will be there. Those coaches will be there, specifically identified. No one else will board, but people with special needs, assisted and identified, people in uniform will be assisting them. I'm not going to talk about the It's a local authority that operates it. So when you raise it also, it's a local authority responsibility. I'm not in there. Conrad Andrew also talked about it, but I'm not going to respond to that. The plan itself, you are saying, where is the plan sort of concentrating? It's concentrating in all the operating tunnels that we have. So you see the station that I identified. It covers all the tunnels, right? Let's operate 13 corridors, right? Here we've got 6 corridors, okay? All those corridors will be covered, and we identify all those stations, okay? In the long term, we want to make it a point that all stations are accessible, not only the ones that we're dealing with now. We are dealing with a few because of, in terms of budget, right? We need to plan, you know, we've got to plan in terms of medium-term expenditure framework, right? And therefore, that plan will have to follow that. You talked about the issue of the wheelchair. Yes, the wheelchair will have to be secured, not to be tied in clamps, no. It's something that you can release easy. By touching it, it releases. It's just to avoid, when the train moves, that the wheelchair itself shakes, right? Not going to be clamped. It just, when you press it, it releases. Okay? And there's going to be alarms in those coaches, so that in case of a problem, you can call one of the, what you call the marshals, on the train, in a uniform, or protection services that are going to be the train to assist. Gautrain, I'm not going to comment about Gautrain. We are not responsible for Gautrain. But the provincial government in Gautrain is responsible. The other issue of making sure that people with disability, for example, who can't hear when a guard blows the whistle, what are we doing about those? The marshals are trained for that now. If you go into the station where marshals are, you'll see there's a marshal in front, there's a marshal in the middle of the train, there's a marshal at the back with a flag and a reflector. Okay? So that marshal will stay there with a flag and make it a point that this train is not going to move until all the doors are closed. Once the doors are closed, you'll see all the 3 flags go, then the train moves. So we are no longer depending on the gas with the whistle. Okay? So we are covering that. In terms of the training of the marshals themselves, there's a question later which came from Andrew. I'll respond to that now, Andrew. Because of Andrew. That what was done with the training of the marshals, since from the Andrew one, it to be linked to the youth program. In training of the marshals, we are identifying individuals through the youth programs, through some of the security cards that we are using. And we have now discussed with SACITA, you know, through the SACITA program of the government, so that their training is linked with the SACITA. Okay, so that when they finish, they've got a certificate that they can be employed somewhere else. So the funding itself also comes from SACITA through government, and the training is managed as such. The numbers that we're looking at, it's about 3,500 countrywide, okay, that are going to be deployed in specific stations and trained with certification. Meaning that even if they leave, right, they can be employed somewhere else. So we are targeting those youth in the program itself. Let's go to Comrade Andrew. Yes, you mentioned the two stations, Netafia and Mandalay, that we are refurbishing that are not yet complete. The program is still continuing. Right? We started on those. We are working with the provincial government. Provincial government has invested money there too. Right? So we will apologize that the program itself has delayed. But we are committed to finishing those stations to make sure that they are all accessible. The program is ongoing. As we said, we will be in a position of completing those stations. The question of every three stations, I don't know where it came from, that every three stations will be accessible. So, if you looked at my presentation, we've identified a specific one, a corridor, right? It's not every three, but we've identified those specific ones where we believe that we need to develop them until they're accessible. Okay? Moving on to the other issue that you raised, of an individual who is forced to sit in a guard cabin. Yes, currently we are busy refurbishing those specific coaches, right? Therefore we don't have them so that they can be accessible to people with special needs. That's why this particular individual will have to go to the guard, to the guard cabin. But if you can advise him or her to go to the station that he utilizes and report and say, I use the station on a daily basis, therefore I need assistance, right? We'll make it a point that there's somebody at the station who can assist and put him or her in a particular coach that is utilized, for example, for students, that is utilized for women who are traveling on a daily basis, which is not overcrowded. So we can provide those assistance currently while we're still rebuilding. Tyler Wright, and I talked about it earlier on, but for Marshall, I also talked about those, but it's a problem that we're dealing with SACITA. What is the problem, what is the other question that you raised, which stations are already at level 3? Currently, I would say none. Because if you look at Mandalay, we're still rebuilding. If you look at Dentafay, we're still finishing them. The new ones, Kailicha Line, we are building them. You look at Woodstock, you look at the other stations, you've got a big shaft, right? It's there, it's just a question of making a point that we put the lift in there. So most that we are dealing with might be in level 2 and level 1. But we want to move with speed to push all of them to level 3 so that they are completely accessible. I like the slogan, nothing about us without us. I like that one. That is why we are saying, talk to all the stakeholders. You remember in my presentation, I said we're also going to depend on you to guide us, who to talk to bring those guidelines, to bring those policies, to identify more stations, to say this one is a station that needs to be developed with speed and turn around so that it can be utilized by people with disabilities. Ramon, transport discriminates. I think you're right. You are right. What are we talking about? When it comes to taxis, what's happening with the buses? Serious difficulty. We are pushing as rain to make it a point that the system is accessible. So you are right. We need to ask those questions. We need to talk to other colleagues with other moves so that we share experiences with them. Right? We share experiences that we've learned abroad. Right? When we look on the issues of people with special needs. We went to Brazil. In Brazil, as the train stops on the platform, there's a monitor in front of the train driver. The train driver can see along the way who's standing next to the train, people with disabilities. The platform itself has got that special plastic where you can walk and be able to feel it with your stick until you move into the train itself. So all those experiences are experiences that we need to share with everybody so that our system stops to discriminate among people with special needs. Special entrances, there's another issue that was raised, the issue of toll town service. When we reach that stage, you say, this service in South Africa is now a total service that can be utilized by everybody. It's going to take us a bit of time, but working together is achievable. We've got a democratic government, we've got a democratic institution, a third constitution that protects our people. Working together, we will achieve something. You raised the level 3 also, yes, I've talked about it again, but none so far. But most of them have got all those small facilities that we believe are moving towards level 3. Thanks, Comrade Patel. Identification of questions, I talked about it earlier on.
I'm not
facing. You're not facing? Oh, okay. Mazibu, yes, I'm missing names. I thought you were married already. My apologies, member. Okay, the identification of questions, babe, I talked about it earlier on, that those are going to be identified. If you've got a same set of 12, we'll make it a point about 3 of those are identified that can be utilized by the special needs people. You also talk about the issue of LCD panels. Say, that's a good one. We are engaging a local company jointly with the government, with the German company, to look at the introduction of those LCD panels, okay, at the station level and inside the train, and also link them to the CCTV program. We are also rolling out a CCTV program that we're going to put inside the train and at the station level. We are experimenting with a number of pilots. For example, here in Wellington, I can now sit here in the office in Cape Town and look at what is happening in Wellington Station. Right? As people are coming through the station, the turnstiles, I can look inside the ticketing office and see what is happening and outside. Right? So those CCTV projects, we're putting them on pilot, we're experimenting with them, they seem to be working wonders. So very soon, once we introduce a pilot, you'll have those LCD screens inside the train. Right? Where it will tell you what station is next. It will also release the news on a daily basis. It will give you adverts of some of the advertising companies as the train moves, so that there's entertainment at the same time, not just boring stuff. News, entertainment, and also tells you about the journey itself. The time the train is moving, what time is it going to be on the next station. So all those exciting things, we are also experimenting with them. We are bringing them into the system. Special entrances, yes. We are going to look at special entrances for special needs passengers. Those ramps are going to be clearly identified and those gates are going to be clearly identified. There's going to be visible uniform, as I said, of people who are going to be assisting at that level. Stratford Station. It's a cash cow. The big station brings a lot of money for us. It caters for 30,000 passengers during peak. It's huge. But it's built out there, it looks like an airport, a small airport, beautiful station. It's got a ramp, by the way. Yeah, it's got a ramp. From the other side. Not from the side of the house. There's a ramp that comes in. So what we are doing, jointly with the county government, we're bringing in a taxi ramp that we're going to build in there, a bus ramp, that will link with another ramp into the station itself. So those plans are there. You're quite right, I'm happy that you read Stratford. It's one of those that we have redeveloped, like Kwezi, like Chembisa. If you go there, there's a lift shaft, the lift is there, then they always have the ramp. Yeah, Stratford plans are there. We've got all the drawings. It's a big station, and it can house for a lot of people. Therefore, we need to make it a point that it complies. You talked about the difference between assisted passengers and disabled carpenters. You remember the three categories I put there? That category deals exactly with what you're talking about in terms of moving South Africa. How do we identify special needs passengers? Okay, and their levels. Legislation, you're quite right. Building regulation, I didn't put it on my slide, on my presentation, but it is one of those that we deal with in each and every facility that we develop, like Stratford. Local authority has to come in and give us a certificate for public use. It must be issued with a certificate. Therefore, an engineer comes in terms of building regulations. And at the end, says, you know, you are responsible for compliance, here's your certificate in terms of building regulations. Same time, the safety regulator, as established by government, train safety railway regulator, also produces me a certificate. If I don't build stations that are safe, I don't build trains that are safe, they take the certificate. It's like your license to operate a car. I've got the same certificate to operate a train. Therefore, I've got to protect it to make it a point that my facilities are utilized properly. Let's move on then to the question that was raised on fast track, frustrating the some of these problems that we're talking about. Right? The platform marshal said we've got training going on, even here in Cape Town, in the Eastern Cape. We've identified the number of those marshals. For Eastern Cape, we're deploying 243 police. Right? Marshals, we are going to have marshals in the region of about 75, okay, who are going to be placed in specific stations. Eastern Cape, as you know, has got a cleaner station, no problems of safety and security on train. People try to travel very safe. But we are not saying let's sit back and enjoy ourselves. No, we deploy police there. We are building those three contact points, right, in those stations. And therefore, we are fast taking some of these there. Programs. I also have the same map for both East London and PE, with the stations that we've identified that are going to be utilized by people with special needs. But it's working very well in the Eastern Cape. We're all happy. Security wise, nothing. So it works very well. I'm happy to note that. But the deployment of SAPS is going in there. We are also going to have what we call mobile units of the railway police. Right? Those mobile units were deploying 272 per region. We'll have 272 here, we'll have 272 in Pretoria, we'll have 272 in Devon, we'll have 272 in the Eastern Cape. Those are the police that are going to deal with long distance trains. As you know, we're taking over Tripolosa Main as of the 1st of April next year. We are also dealing with freight trains that are traveling all over the country. Yeah, I'm wrapping up now. And those that are going abroad. The last question was the cost factor. Money is involved in all these things, right? Therefore, we have to approach government to provide those resources to make it a point that we share the station, make sure that they meet the demand. So I've talked about the MTF, but we plan according to the 3-year plan to invest in the refurbishment of those stations.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm sorry we didn't have enough time to interrogate you more, but I would like you to stay. If some members are staying and they have more questions, then after these other two presentations, then they have an opportunity to ask you some more questions. When we do have the public hearings sometime in October, you will also be invited to listen to what the public are saying. So we will definitely invite you again for the public hearings to listen to what the public are saying. So please do stay. We have the South African National Taxi Council here with us. We have Mr. P. Tybosch, the General Secretary. Am I right? We do have you here. So we're giving over to you to do your presentation. Members, please, they will present and they will definitely do it in 15 minutes, but please, you are also then asked, please to limit your question times, your question and answer times, so that we can hear the proper response from then the presenters. Mr. Seibos, we have your documentation, we received it, and it states the transport for people with disabilities. You will see it in PowerPoint presentation that was copied to us. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Teigel.
The chairperson and members of the committee, let me firstly start by indicating that from SANTACO's side and the taxi industry in South Africa, we feel very much privileged to have been invited by this committee to particularly come and do a presentation. You will see from the presentation I'm going to table in front of you that we will be speaking on policy and legislative directives, speaking on problem statement, resources. We will also be dealing with examples of suitable vehicles. Then we will conclude our presentation. Firstly, Chairperson, let me indicate that we take seriously into the Constitution of South Africa, which we believe that as a taxi industry we need to fully subscribe to. Hence, we have in our introduction the Constitution of the country there. And I just want to read that SANTACO fully subscribes to the Constitution of the country and would therefore strive to adhere to the principles and ethos of the Constitution. We have undertaken in all the aspects of the Constitution as stipulated within the Constitution what are the compliances as far as transport is concerned and what are the responsibilities of government and responsibilities of the citizens of South Africa as far as people living with disabilities. It includes race, gender, sex, pregnancy, marital status, ethnic or social origin, color, sexual orientation, age, disability, religion, conscience, belief, culture, language, and birth. The taxi industry is acutely aware and sensitive towards the plight of the people with disabilities. SANTACO has also been receiving numerous complaints and concerns from the people with the disabilities. Although, Chairperson, the existing vehicles are not suitable or specifically designed to convey people with disabilities, the taxi industry is currently transporting people with disabilities on the taxis. Taxi drivers have also not been trained on how to deal with people with disabilities. If, for instance, I had to indicate that on that particular score of taxi drivers, including taxi operators, not being specifically trained for that, we are dealing with that particular matter with TITA to ensure that our taxi drivers are adequately trained to deal with people with disabilities in our society. We are indicating, we are making a special reference to the National Land Transport Transition Act 2000, number 22 of 2000, which defines persons with disabilities as all persons whose mobility is restricted by temporary or permanent physical or mental disabilities and includes the very young, the blind or partially sighted, the deaf or hard of hearing. It is, however, those people using wheelchairs that are posing serious challenges to all those people that are affected. Chairperson, if I had to elaborate on this particular one, while we are referring particularly to the people with wheelchairs, which are the ones which we believe as SANTACO that they are mostly finding it problematic to get transport, particularly being serviced by our taxi drivers and operators themselves. We indicate that we find that there are people who would give signages to the taxi drivers those who can use their hands and those who can talk to the marshal. But we're having problems with when it comes to the question of wheelchairs. And that's why we want to address this particular aspect, not leaving other aspects of the disabilities. The policy objectives of the Integrated National Disability Strategy regarding transport is to, inter alia, provide an accessible, affordable, multimodal public transport system that will meet the needs of the largest numbers of people at the lowest cost, while at the same time planning for those higher cost features which are essential to disabled people with greater mobility. The document titled Transport for Disabled People, National Department of Transport 1992, was produced to make recommendations and guidelines regarding planning and provision of transportation facilities for the disabled, and ultimately to incorporate disabled travelers in all modes and everywhere in the transportation system. The document provides for the metrics of facilities for disabled passengers as well. Policy and legislative directives. The Office of the President has established a dedicated office that deals mainly with issues pertaining to disabled persons, namely Office of the Status of Disabled Persons. Despite of all policy directives, not much has been done by the government to assist people with disabilities, especially those making use of public transport. What we are trying to say on this particular slide here, Chairperson, we are trying to indicate that as much as the taxi industry is responsible for transporting or servicing the public, we are seriously looking into movements which are made by government institutions to ensure that some of the legislative requirements are met. And we believe that if, for instance, those institutions or departments can start moving in a particular direction, we will be able to sort of meet some of the requirements or some of the demands from our disabled community in South Africa. Loading and offloading wheelchairs is perceived to be time consuming. Wheelchairs occupy a paying seat on a vehicle, and some of the drivers are wrongfully charging extra money for that wheelchair. Helping a person with a disability to board and or alight a taxi is a challenge itself, with some people feeling that they are not being assisted with respect. Women with disabilities also need to be helped and handled with dignity and respect. Chairperson, on this particular one, I must indicate, as a taxi operator and as a leader within the taxi industry, I am here at pains to really feel the pains the drivers, taxi drivers, are going through when they are supposed to be delivering this particular service. And I'm saying it is not an excuse, but I'm saying that if one was to look into history and you find that there was, from the way go when South Africa was established, or laws was established in South Africa, that a sort of a platform was created where these questions of transport services was to be addressed. And we found that as the taxi industry in many occasions, we were not some of the people who were included in the transport modes of South Africa, and hence regard ourselves as people who came by default within the transport systems in South Africa as just to assist. And hence our drivers are finding it difficult at times. And I've alluded to the question of training, but we are dealing with this particular aspect, and we believe that we will win on this particular one, because for us, all South Africans are equal, and we believe that the service which we need to render as a taxi industry should be equal to everybody, and all people should be treated equally with respect. but we are feeling it very much for the people with wheelchairs, but because at many times we have seen at some point how a wheelchair person will wait at a loading zone and be parked there for something like an hour. This poor people person waiting there for a taxi to load him. Now, because of this competitiveness within the taxi industry of the drivers working per commission, and also the taxi operators also making money through the number of loads they are operating, we find ourselves in such a situation where our drivers would really overlook a person with disability, particularly the one with wheelchairs. But we have taken strides in our AGM, which we held recently in Sun City on the 25th of June. This was one question which was highly seriously addressed in that particular meeting. And we believe that SANTACO, if SANTACO wants to make South Africa a winning country as far as transport is concerned, the disabilities are that particular community which needs to be addressed. On the problem statement, wheelchair could be a safety hazard on the other passengers in case of accidents. Most of the wheelchairs used as taxis have not been designed or modified to transport persons with disabilities. For instance, what we are trying to say here, when a wheelchair is loaded on a, let's say for instance, because we don't have facilities in our taxis, and a wheelchair is being sort of held somewhere within our kumbis at the back, we feel that when an accident happens, that very same wheelchair at many times can be hazardous to other passengers within the vehicle itself, including the driver. But nevertheless, we have indicated that we are dealing with this particular subject because our main role is to do transport service. On resources, we say capital investment or the availability of the resources is generally seen as a major factor in the provision of infrastructure and services for people with disabilities. Most of the vehicles that could suitably fit in the wheelchairs are, however, very much expensive per vehicle, excluding the disabled transport accessories. That's where the government is expected to come in. If you have to look into the present recapitalization program, its inception was to particularly address the question of all transport users, including people with disabilities in South Africa. And you would find that the present vehicles which are there, or presently it's vehicles which are not adequate to transport people with disabilities. Hence, I can make a statement in this house today that our team is working very hard with manufacturers to find a suitable vehicle for this particular community of us here in South Africa. I've come up with examples of vehicles which could be suitable with some of the vehicles which we saw in the countries which we visited. This is a vehicle which we saw in the United States, and we have looked into it and we felt that this vehicle is one of the vehicles suitable. But the problem in South Africa is that we are using a combi or mini type services, and that we need to bring that kind of vehicles which would meet the needs of people, because unless we do that, we will find that our disabled people will continue to be overcharged by the taxi drivers for the services which will be delivered. And our intention, Chairperson, is not to discriminate when we are bringing this vehicle by suddenly increasing the fares on the side of the disabled people. It's to render a service. It's examples of vehicles. We've got an example of a vehicle from London, which we have here, which is called London Cab. we've got this particular one vehicle which is available here in South Africa, but you can look at the size of that vehicle and you would find that it's not the market we are really servicing, and you look at the price, it tells you that something very big and large needs to be done for the taxi industry to ensure that it meets its one constitutional obligation and also the obligations of the Act and its obligation to service the citizens of South Africa. But Chairperson, despite all these challenges of limited resources, people with disabilities and the aged are currently being catered for with care and dignity within the taxi industry. All possible assistance is being given to people with disabilities, including their luggage, wheelchairs, etc. However, Santaco does acknowledge that there are some unfortunate instances in which some of the taxi drivers are a bit insensitive towards the plight of the people with disabilities. Needless to say, the taxi industry would like to be wheelchair-friendly, Chairperson. Santaco is looking at a situation in which some of our taxis would be able to accommodate customers with special needs. Like the ones in the pictures above, we are envisaging wheelchair taxis that could include fold-out ramps with extension wheelchairs, restraints belt with LED lamps, non-slip steps, easy lift exterior door handles, and tall seat with LED and diagonal seat belts. Chairperson, the reason we are putting this, and you would find that in most cases you would find that nothing has actually been done to say that here is a vehicle readily available. It is because these vehicles are really very expensive, and that's why we are engaged with manufacturers in negotiating some of these vehicles. As part of the transformation and repositioning of the taxi industry, Santaco is in the process of establishing a disability transport desk to be headed by the Secretary General of Santaco. All identifiable structures representing the people with the disabilities will be engaged to assist addressing the problems. And Chairperson, if I must actually elaborate on the engagement, we are seriously talking about real engagement, where these people will be coming and making meaningful inputs so that we can come up with a sort of a policy document and a document which comes with the real mechanisms of addressing the needs of the people with disabilities. Shifting the responsibility of transporting persons with disabilities to the individual taxi operators is not the best way of addressing the problem at hand. All relevant stakeholders, and this is the feeling of Santaco, that it needs to take upon all relevant stakeholders, and I'm very happy that my colleague from Metro, the SIRCC, has indicated that there is a need for all role players to come together and ensure that these problems of addressing adequate transport for people with special needs is actually achieved. Madam Chair, let me finally indicate that Santaco needs just to, it's not in the slide, just needs to indicate to this House that we have been able to meet as a taxi operator since 2001 to ensure that there is transformity within the taxi industry, and we believe that with time we will be able to meet our main obligation, that of giving service to the people. And I want to thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. So thank you very much. I'm actually really pleased that you have come and attended this meeting. For myself, DynaRide, that Kombi that they are using, that
system of transport. Yes, it's accessible for people with wheelchairs. Now, those kind of combis that they have been using, couldn't that then be used for the various taxis? I mean, I'm just thinking maybe they are fully modified or partly modified or something. Couldn't you maybe look at their, what they are using? Have you spoken to them that is providing this dynamite system? Then secondly, you gave us examples and pictures of suitable or possible vehicles, and I know the cost, you were talking about the cost here as well. Is there, I don't see in your papers, I see there's one or two, isn't there any other accommodations that you can think that we as a committee can sit down and maybe, you know, we can negotiate on behalf of the taxi association with the Minister of Transport? Then thirdly, I would like to know if there has been a survey being done, if a survey has been done, for example, you know the various routes that the taxis are taking, and for example, down that route there's a disabled person, maybe down that route there's no disabled people. So that is a mini survey, keeping statistics of where, you know, there are certain disabled people along certain routes. Okay, and maybe along those routes, because there's much more disabled people along that, so we will see these kinds of taxis along those routes. You know, so I just want to know if a mini survey has been done like that. Then fourthly, maybe the driver and his assistant, I know that there's sometimes an assistant with the driver who collects the money, maybe they don't understand disability issues. But can you your association maybe consider maybe, you know, training those assist drivers or the assistants in the kombis how to handle or to be sensitive towards people with disability, because many times I think there's fear that keeps them away from assisting people with disabilities. For example, how to lift a person very quickly and into the taxi and out of the taxi. So those type of training. So those are just questions for you to consider. In other hands, I think on the face, your hand is up. I'll be writing down the names. I see there was two hands. Members, if you don't take now, I'm going to close immediately. There's three hands, I see. Finish. Thank you. Honorable Bongani.
Thank you, Jefferson, and we appreciate the presentation. But the disadvantage is that we're talking to the executive. The best behavior is in the driver. People who are there who are servicing people. So meaning in hospitals we'll call them frontline managers. But in police station we'll call them customer services. But then really the problem is out there with the driver. They are the ones. Well, of course I understand the reasons behind the sometimes they're in a hurry. But they are in this business to service people. They are not necessarily in this business to only make money, but to make money because you are kind also to people and you service people. And it's no use for them to say they are always in a rush, they can't take passengers in a wheelchair and so on and so on. There's one instance in Protea's Lane where I stopped the taxi and I opened the door and I pushed in the person with the wheelchair, put the person on the chair and I pulled in the wheelchair and I put that. Because that person has been standing there and I won. He's been pointing taxis and taxis, they continued passing that passenger until I intervened, Jefferson. And now I'm jail driver. I told the driver, I said, you dare not drop this passenger where he or she is going. You will find me. Don't pull him out. I put it in the list. And now, secondly, Jefferson, and what training programs are you putting in place to actually train both your drivers and your conductor? What is interesting in Cape Town is something that I picked up Comrade Bongani, is that there are taxi conductors here. In Gauteng, there are no taxi conductors. You see to finish. The only time you come across a taxi conductor is a taxi marshal. And he will tell you, Shalmanani, Foko, there, at the back. Sometimes they don't even consider that I'm fat. They want to push me into the back seat. And I tell them most of the time, don't look at my face and assume that I'm slender. I want to sit comfortably in a taxi so that then I enjoy my ride. And I know that I'm going to be smuggled. Please also tear our pantyhose. If that can also be looked at, Jefferson, because it means when you go to a taxi, you must brave yourself that either I'll come out my skirt or my pantyhose being torn out of that taxi. That is something that they also need to put in place. And taxi ramps. I know taxi ramps, well, of course, they are constructed by the local municipality or the province. To what extent do they have a say? You know, an input to say, this is how you design this taxi ramp, so that then it becomes accessible to people who are disabled, even those that are on wheelchair. Sometimes sometimes your feet are aching, or maybe you have got a sprain, you've got everything. You can't even climb into a taxi because the taxi, now if I am lucky, it's very, very hard. So you struggle to get into a taxi, push yourself to sit there and do all those things. If, I mean, I'm trying to check to what extent do they have those things. And do they have a toll-free number, or are they anticipating having a toll-free number? I don't want to complain, but really, the taxi drivers, you know, if they can be that toll-free number, to pick up your phone and say, here is the taxi registration number, so and so, this is how the driver is behaving, or this is how the driver is driving. Because really, many people are afraid to use the taxis because of what is happening in the taxis. The bad language, the harassment, the rudeness of taxi drivers. You know, those minor things, they make people to basically be into them, be uncomfortable, person. And lastly, what programs are they also putting in place? To empower women to take care of this industry. I know I'm smuggling this because I don't sit in the transport committee. It's not enough to see women only during the Women's Month standing there. And it's just a PR exercise. Every day to see the participation of women, because I'm sure one of their better carers. Maybe if there's a, even though that ride taxi, I was once in a taxi alongside men both in Clermont. It was a woman who was driving. Even the way she was dressed, you can see she was dressed like a trophy because of this type of industry. If you are dressed beautifully as a woman driving, you'll be harassed by other taxi drivers. But if you dress like them, wear your Nike t-shirt and your cap and even the way you sit, you know, then they can see that you are compatible to their industry. So how what it is that they're actually doing in relation to this? Yeah, well.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to join people who appreciate the report from Santaco. Maybe not for Santaco, maybe for South Africa. You know, while I'm sitting here, I was just thinking, maybe we need to develop a slogan of education for all South Africans, particularly taxi drivers. Not necessarily training, but education and awareness. Maybe the slogan can say, take care of disabled people, because one day you can be disabled. Because, no, the behavior of leaving people who are using wheelchairs on the road is because you don't know one day with that taxi you can get an accident, very serious accident, with that taxi that you're driving, and you can be disabled permanently. And you will be left on the road also by other taxi drivers. That should be an education, because able-bodied people, they think that one day they cannot be disabled. And that is a myth. I think that is a very serious slogan that will make people to change their own mindset on how to treat people with disabilities. So I think that slogan should be there in taxi ramps, should be there on taxis, you know, should be a proper education for the nation, especially for taxi ramps. Two, the question of safety in the taxi. Both for people with disabilities and those that are able-bodied. You know, when I'm coming to work, I leave my car at the taxi ring and take a taxi. Every day I ride with a taxi. But you'll find that in minor accident, you can die. In a minor accident, you can die because inside the taxi, you find serious fraud, you know. You can see that this taxi was being welded inside the cab. You know, couldn't see it, so couple of accidents, you know, like this, so we can die. You know, so there is no care. If there is no care for able-bodied people, how much more for people with disabilities? If there is no respect for people who are able-bodied, how much that you are going to have respect for those? So I'm raising these as critical issues of intervention that we need to do. But leniency is another thing. We can talk to the executive, and then the executive can talk to the taxi operators. But the taxi operators are the ones that are closer to the drivers, and are the ones that are lenient to the drivers. You report to the association, because there are points at every taxi rank where you report cases. But you find that, seemingly, taxi drivers, they have power in terms of control, more than operators. Because they are the one who takes decisions at the taxi rank, and they are the one who takes decisions on the road. So what are the power relations in terms of discipline or disciplining those who they've spoken? But the issue of access also to taxi ranks at Ayona there in Kuguletu is not accessible to people with disability. So what
about access?
So we spoke about the taxis from London as an example, then taxis from US for an example. And then we spoke about the assistance. But I want to say, since you have made your research and you saw that there is a demand for this particular transformation agenda, have you contacted the Department of Transport for this? When did you contact them? What is their response and what is the mood in terms of intervention? You know, because I know the Department of Transport must be understanding the laws of the country in terms of that particular question. So have you,
contacted them?
And what is their response to that? Thank you very much.
Honorable Mark.
Thank you, Jefferson. Taxis are everywhere. Every town, every village, every squatter camp where you don't see trains and buses, there are taxis. That says to me that accessibility, accessible transport for disabled persons should actually start with the taxis. Because, Jefferson, the taxis are the feeder to the buses, to the trains, and all modes of transport. Except sometimes where they even take people to the final destination. But the importance of taxis can't be more emphasized. And the need for it to be friendly for the disabled person. I don't want to raise the fact that the unfortunate scenes of taxi drivers just ignoring disabled persons in wheelchairs, not even attempting to transport them. I don't even get into that. I think it has been raised before. So I think another important point is that if you look at the involvement of taxis in accidents and people who die, for every single person that died in a taxi accident, there are 3-4 disabled persons. So the taxi industry actually contributes a lot to the disabled persons that we have today. So one more person I want to emphasize. With this taxi recapitalization program taking place, it is so important for the taxi industry and for the taco in particular to make sure that these taxis should be accessible to disabled persons. I think they might make use of organizations like DPSA and ourselves to put pressure on the minister to ensure that the taxis are disabled friendly. When I asked the minister the last time, what is the plan for the office department to accommodate this able person with the taxi and capitalization program? You know what he said? He said every 20th taxi will be accessible for the disabled person. I mean, that's a so simple. Can I finally say, Jefferson? The buses, the trains, they are all being subsidized by the government. And that's a taxi. I was actually surprised to hear that the taxi people don't even mention that. I don't know why, how poor taxi owners, who are mostly black, can afford to keep the taxis on the road without subsidy. And I think that is the crucial point. And I can't see how they can survive without subsidies when they don't get these taxis. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. Now, other hand, because that would be the last round, as I'm giving over to you, Mr. Tybal, to answer those questions. Thank you.
Thank you again for this opportunity, Chairperson. Let me indicate that we are well aware and we know this dial a ride taxi, which are existing
in Cape Town and somewhere in South Africa. But what I was trying to say, and I think this is one question which came to the table, is that, you know, for the taxi industry in the first place to think of starting to compete with this particular mode. This question of subsidization comes forward. You will find that this mode are very expensive to the community which we as the taxi industry are transporting, which is the disabled people and the communities which are coming from the poor areas in our country. And hence, for us to take even a chance of bringing such an expensive vehicle will be actually to firstly to ensure that the client doesn't arrive where he or she is supposed to be at that particular time. But we are looking at this particular point as coming up with an answer which will be an answer which will not impact negatively in the pocket of the person we are transporting. I'm very thankful that you know, it has come forward, and it indicates also that when people are not talking, you would not get the necessary support. And I welcome that the chairperson has mentioned that why doesn't the taxi industry ask, you know, contact or talk to the people, organizations, including this committee, which is dealing with people with disabilities. And I think we welcome this one. On the issue of survey, whether a survey has been done, and what were the outcome of that particular survey. Madam Chair, I must indicate that we have done a survey of which it is not that much professional kind of a survey. As you would understand that we are coming from a very particular background where we have been dealing with this industry from the experiences of the past, not a particular professional or an educational background, but with what we know the customer wants on a daily basis. But what we've come up against, and that I think this is the point Santaku wants to make, we are totally against, Madam Chair, of bringing a particular vehicle which we say this vehicle will cater only for disabilities, because we believe that will be another form of discrimination. Now, what we want to bring, we want to bring a vehicle which will be available to transport people with disabilities like any other South African at any uncalled time when such a need is actually needed. We know that it is expensive, but that is what we are looking at, that for instance, in every taxi rank, that we bring at least vehicles. We were looking at the district, that we look at districts and we put a district a particular number of vehicles which are suitable for people with disabilities, but also working a mechanism as to how these vehicles will be operating, because you would know that from the taxi industry we have this thing that first come first serve, but we want to move away from that one of first come first serve when it comes to this specialized vehicle. That vehicle should do a rotational kind of an operation, so that our people with disabilities are not suffering on our roads or not actually staying too long on our roads. When it comes to the question of bad behavior of drivers, this one, I cannot agree more with you, madam, that this is the case, and I must actually admit to this that I, as an owner, first, before becoming the leader of the taxi industry, I've contributed a lot to this kind of behavior, because I've never put systems as to how my driver would be operating in place. But what we are trying to say on this one, and that's why in the Santaco AGM, the theme which was used in that particular AGM was the repositioning of the taxi industry. And I've been involved with the executive on roadshows, and these roadshows include everybody, including taxi drivers in South Africa. We've been involved in roadshows. And One of the things which came up from you, Matt, is how do we communicate this kind of training, or how do we do training to drivers? And what we are doing in this particular roadshows is to teach our drivers the important role a commuter is playing, and that also even showing them the scope of today in South Africa, because before, you must understand that the taxi industry, what we did, and I said that it was not provided in the past legislations of the taxi of South Africa. What we did, we took over the market by force from the previous government. You will remember that kind of history. And this mentality of saying that passengers have no right, you would find that it comes from that particular history. But now with the changes which have now been effected, democracy taking place in South Africa, we have come to the conclusion that we need also to change from that particular way of operating. Hence, we are placing not only our drivers, but the operators themselves to understand. We are training them in understanding their business, how to run their business. We are training them on how a customer is handled. We are training them on how they should employ the drivers, and what kind of relationship they should be building with their drivers as far as employment. Because one of the things is that in the taxi industry, I'm sure some of you will attest to it, that you'll find a driver that he could change even 5 employers per week, because this particular employer has very strict rules and has put some conditions as to how his vehicle is operating. This driver will not be comfortable and move to another operator. One of the things which has been used by the driver, and I must actually dispute that in this house, is that the taxi operators are putting high tech on the driver, that you have to bring me this much per day. This is a song which has been sung everywhere by taxi drivers, but we have conducted our own research, and we've never found a single taxi operator who says, I demand that the driver must bring this per day. It's the only thing the taxi operators are saying, that bro, handle my vehicle with care, ensure that you drive safely, all those things. But the drivers will then start doing their own thing. Hence, on that particular one, what is our response to that? We are saying, let's come up with a united kind of an employer organization. Instead of taxi operators being employed by individual operators, they will now be employed by an association turned into a Section 21 kind of a company, and that the drivers will be employed by that particular company, and there will be sets of rules, and that the driver will not be answerable to the taxi operator now. He will be answerable to the manager of that particular company or the foreman supervisor. Those are some of the things which we believe that we are busy changing, and we believe that we will succeed in those things. When it comes to the taxi rent, it is true that we don't have powers over the taxi rent, and the taxi rents belong to the municipalities. We will come up with whatever suggestions we put forward. It all depends whether the municipalities have the funds or they can do that. But we are dependent on them when it comes to taxi rent. Hence, we have been requesting the Department of Transport that when it comes to taxi rents, we understand, and historically so you would understand that that's where violence was brewing from the taxi rent, because there were certain people within the taxi industry who used to call them taxi bosses, who would own a particular rank or a particular route. And we are very happy with government owning the rules and owning the rank. But the thing we are asking is, let's look into the management of the rent. Give the management of the rent to the taxi industry so that they can be able to manage the rent, so that we can look into other improvements. There are a number of issues when it comes to the safety of people, when it comes to the people with disabilities, because our one of the things which we want to put in the taxi rent in addressing this very same problem, and the problem, including the problem of the HIV/AIDS, we are planning to put taxi clinics in all our taxi ranks to ensure that there is medical service for people who will be in need of medical service at particular times. Toll-free numbers, I think very soon we will be giving this number to the public of South Africa and to this committee that will be having a toll-free number. In addressing this particular issue of toll-free number, it goes along with the electronic management system which we want to introduce within the taxi industry, and the value of it towards our passengers. Firstly, this electronic management system is going to ensure that the driver doesn't actually work with money anymore, because we have discovered that sometimes money can disrupt the mind of the driver, and he would find himself in an accident, and we can have disability from that particular accident, it's true. But what we are saying with the introduction of the electronic management system is that we will have this sort of a machinery which will have a center house at a particular taxi rank, monitored on a 24-hour basis, which will monitor the speed the driver is doing on the vehicle, because we have agreed that we need to have limited speed on our roads. The speed the driver is doing on the road. Look also from that particular monitoring system. Look also at the driver's behavior on the road with passengers inside. You know, those are some of the things which we believe that we are looking at bringing improvements into the taxi industry, in ensuring that we keep the customers which we've been servicing, and maybe even increase those customers. We are mindful that the South African Rail Commuter Corporation is is our competitor at the end of the day. And if we don't improve, we will lose customers to them. You'll see, I think if he gives you the figures, at a particular stage he was transporting something like 14% passengers. And because of our behavior, madam, because of our behavior, because of us not having certain standards, some of our customers have moved. I think he might be transporting now between 16% and 17% of the commuters. But we are trying to keep the customers which we've been transporting and even increasing them. Women in the taxi industry, I'm able to report to this committee today that this is not a smoke screen. We are actually taking the challenge of the government of the day, which says that women should not be used as window dressers. And we have taken a decision in our AGM in Sun City now in June. And this particular desk is in my office as the Secretary General of SANTACO. And the first national structure of the women in taxi industry will be formed in December. Now I will invite some members of this committee to come and observe that. And we the thing is that maybe one of the things why we want women involved. We want women involved in the management of the taxi industry, but we want also women involved as drivers. Because we have looked into other modes, including the very same colleagues of us from the SRTC, the airports. We've looked into that. We've looked into buses. Why are these people keeping their customers? And we've moved into that particular direction to say, maybe this industry has been for a long time very much male-dominated. And let's change the face of even the employees themselves. Maybe immediately when some of our male drivers start seeing that women are coming in, it will not only change their attitude, it will change their professionalism in doing their job and also in valuing the important role they are playing as taxi drivers. On your issue of a slogan, let me indicate to you, the slogans have been there in the taxi industry and they've not served any purpose. We can put a slogan, it will be a slogan which everybody reads, it will not serve any purpose. But what we have come up with, we have said that let's put up a training academy for taxi drivers. And this training academy should go through all sorts of rules in which a taxi driver should find himself behaving. You know, it should be part and parcel of his employment conditions. That they should be included in his employment conditions. So that we don't expect only to look at slogans, but we also look into practicalities. Whether this is implemented and that may be our, because we've got rent marshal, we've got also road inspectors. But road inspectors will look into other aspects, whether they are complying with the standards set by us as a taxi driver. We believe that is the way we want to address that particular issue of ensuring that there is real safety and that people understand at the end of the day that it's not about you when you get involved in an accident. It is about the end result of that, that you yourself also can become a victim of that. On safety of passengers, the dilapidation of the taxis and the recall program. Let me agree with you, and I want to, without any apology, indicate to this house that for as long as we don't have a direct subsidy in the taxi industry, we will continue to have those vehicles on our roads. Because that is the vehicle which we have been using all these years to ensure that our people during the bad times of apartheid in South Africa, have transport to wherever they wanted to go to. And those vehicles, because of their length and because of the non-subsidization of the taxi industry, you cannot today expect that particular taxi operator, without any assistance from government, that he be able to pay for a vehicle which is costing between 150,000 and 300,000 rand. And hence we are engaging the Department of Transport on the question of subsidy, that if they are not going to subsidize the taxi industry, we will not be able even to meet the 50,000 rand they are giving us allowance for the scrapping of the taxis. That 50,000 rand is just an assistance to, not an assistance actually, it's an encouragement to say that this taxi has been too long on the road, let's take it out. But it still doesn't address the question of subsidization. It still doesn't address the question of affordability of the taxi, of the taxis. And we are engaging the Department of Transport on that. And I must report to this house that yesterday I received a call from the Department of Transport, particularly from the DC, asking for the two of us to look at dates in next week where we can meet to come and discuss this particular question of subsidy. But what we are doing also in ensuring that there is some kind of professionality, we have come up with a division that in all our taxis we should have first aid boxes. Because one of the things which we have discovered is that in many instances you would find that a passenger would die not because of the impact of the accident, but because of the loss of blood. And if there were adequate equipment within that vehicle, life should have been saved. And hence it will be part of the training that the driver would be trained, because we believe among the 15 passengers or 12 passengers within the vehicle, there is somebody who knows this kind of thing. And the other thing which we are bringing forward also is in the form of the insurance companies which we are dealing with. We are about to appoint a company which will be doing a service of a 24-hour service which will be on time when an accident happens. There will be airplanes to ensure that when a taxi, that will be a service specially for the taxis, that we will have that kind of service, that when an accident happens, that in about a matter of 10-15 minutes there is an airplane, there is ambulances which are picking up the passengers. But those are some of the things which we are doing in ensuring that we taking in confidence that we don't have finances, but those are the plans which we are putting forward to ensure that we address our backlog as far as satisfying the community we are servicing. On the question of taxi drivers control, I've indicated that we are addressing that, and we have a strategy to that. Accessible transport, the transport department, what is the transport department is doing. I think what we have been doing here, engaging the department, we've indicated to the department that this question of saying to the people that they will be in this recap program, after every 20 vehicles there will be, let me say, every 20 vehicles will be vehicles which are adequately manufactured to transport disabled people. This we have indicated to them that we are not supportive of this particular one. But what we are supportive of is what I quoted earlier on, to say that we want to ensure that disabled people are equally serviced like any other citizen of South Africa. On the question raised by Member Moss, thank you for noting that the taxi industry is accessible in remote areas. Because this is where we put our argument that taxis are going into the places where trains, buses, and not even the aeroplanes are not going. But this is the one industry which has been neglected by our government when it comes to the question of subsidy. And we will welcome whatever assistance would be coming from this committee and other structures of the community to ensure that our call, our noise which we are making when it comes to this question of subsidization of the taxi industry is really realized, because we believe that we don't have a choice as the taxi industry. It doesn't matter how remote an area is, we need to take people to that area. What we have done in addressing also this particular question, we have accessed vehicles, we are talking to vehicle manufacturing companies outside the country, and we have found suitable vehicles for areas like the old Transkei, the Eastern Cape, the old rural areas like somewhere in the northwest, the Kwakwa area, the KwaZulu-Natal. We have accessed vehicles, and very soon we will be having this kind of vehicles which will make it possible for people even in those areas which the taxis cannot go in, that those taxis will be going in there. What pressure are we putting on the minister? I've indicated that the kind of pressure we're putting on the minister is that, minister, please treat us equally, like any other transport mode in South Africa, so that we can ensure that, because we believe that transport is one of the essential services of government. And for us as taxi operators to come in as stakeholders in that, we need the support of government. I think we are putting pressure on that one. I think I've attempted to respond to all questions as far as questions raised by members here.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I also would like to repeat that when we do have public hearings, the invitation will be going out to you, that you too can be present and to listen to the needs of the disabled as expressed by them at that public hearings. So presentation, we thank you for your presentation. If you can stay for the department presentation now, we will welcome that back. So thank you very much. We now have the Department of Transport. That will be our last presentation. I know I gave you a letter. I must say that I'm really disappointed that the Bus Association is not here, but from the letter that we did receive, it seemed like they put in the responsibility on the Department of Transport. So maybe linked with the bus, and the bus service has been accessible to people with disabilities, maybe you can maybe answer a few questions or maybe answer on their behalf. Many of the members do feel that the Bus Association should have been present, but you maybe might call them at a later date. I will now hand over to the department for your presentation. So if you could just introduce yourself and your position as well. And I do want to thank you for your presence here. So over to the Department of Transport.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Angeline Chalilin. I am a Chief Director in the Department of Transport nationally, and I am responsible for integrated delivery programs. Amongst others in this responsibility or portfolio, I have developed the short-term accessible transport strategy, which I want to present to you. And also want to indicate that the request in terms of the letter that was forwarded to our DG or the department, it has touched or reflected the core or the focus was on public transport as a whole to be accessible. And I think what I want to make the meeting aware is that the number in terms of just structural arrangements, the issues that have been raised, such as taxi, recap, the bus industry, they are in the department but in another division. I will be able to talk about some of the high level, but having lack of technical or specific responses on those sectors, subsectors, taxi. But I think I understand the rationale of a holistic public transport, hence the issue of initiating and developing the strategy as you see in front of you. What I will do, I think, is also to make the strategy available to secretariat electronically. But the strategy is a base document, guiding document for land public transport. That's why we're saying short term. That is what was the intention in 2003 when we started to change or wanting to transform the pile of services that are happening for dedicated services for people with disability. The challenge there to inform the graduates that we do not want dedicated service, we want an inclusive transport system. And that mainstream has to happen across the world. So we are not promoting dedicated. We have piloted that, it does not work. Dial-a-ride, we know its weaknesses. I am party to the co-funding of the Dial-a-ride, and the issue is it is still exclusive in terms of the principle of the strategy does not address it. Hence the issue of us looking at agencies such as Metro Rail, such as SARCC, and also the operators to say transform your operation, transform your infrastructure as well as your management and the mindset, especially in integrating and responding to the constitutional mandate of promoting equality, recognizing the stipulations of the Bill of Rights, which says you should not discriminate on the grounds of gender, race, or disability. Also, some of this legislation and policy instruments, which they have touched on their presentations, they are based on the integrated national disability strategy, which was promulgated by the president. The issue here, the strategy focuses on four primary or interventions. I'm not going to go into the legislative issues quickly. I think for me, is to emphasize the objective of the strategy and also to say the target group and intervention and funding. I think those are the issues. I think you are aware of the principles. You are aware of the consultative process, the challenges of collecting data, as well as the delays in defining, coming up to a consensus on the definition of disability. People with special needs, I think you all know all those dynamics. I'm not going to go into that, but we are aware that our transport system is having some operational challenges as well as infrastructural challenges because of the spatial arrangement of the town and settlement. As a result, some of our operations are just limited and are biased to urban areas. I think, again, in terms of operations, we do not have, at that stage when we're developing the strategy, we do not have enough information on the population and the settlement or geographical spread of people with disabilities, so that we can say for the first project on high impact, which area can we target just to integrate or mainstream services. And I think that's where the strategy tries to emphasize and say integrate mainstream. The objective that I've emphasized, and this is the focus, we say integrate accessible transport into the public transport system. And here, when we say public, I think we also include aviation or air transport. We talked of rail, we listen to rail, we also talk of the other modes, but we also talk of the taxi industry. But what we are saying, this has to be extended. And I think we are promoting universal access. This is in line with the total service concept. We say promote inclusivity, but at the same time we say in the overall end of our horizon, either 2010, beyond 2020 or 2050, long span, we are saying we want to be like the international country. Which are not discriminatory, which promote universal access. In our implementation approach, we say this has to be done incrementally. And we do that by targeting certain areas and certain interventions. I do not want to go into the target group, but we also say this is a life cycle passenger focus or based intervention. The issue of land spatial planning, those are some of the limitations. Capacity building, it was mentioned. The emphasis on this slide is mainly to say our integration in transport system has to start with the design of the system, design of the operating system, design of your infrastructure. Your plans have to be inclusive of all those needs and interests so that the people with disabilities can participate in the broader economy, be able to meet the essential services as well. As a result, we say when you plan this transport network in terms of services, operation, consider the network. Consider the strategic priority focus area
of the movement of people. That's where you need to start your intervention or linkage with regards to services as well as infrastructure alignment. And infrastructure also talk of the built environment so that there could be the walkways that could be accessible. We have done also a study in terms of we developed a costing model. The costing model serves as a manual to cost capital as well as operational cost for any intervention on the three modes that are on the land transport modes. And what it does, it also provides for upgrading and improvement. Issues of technology that was mentioned can be calculated or inputted into the model. Issue of performance, you could easily monitor and trace through that model, and you can reprioritize using that model. We are using that on CD, we are using that as a manual for planning decision-making purposes. So this is what we are trying to say. When we say a complete service, we say consider the travel pattern, travel chain, which starts from a place of origin and has to go to link to other service station, including the destination. But in the end, that very user has to be able to move with ease and comfort seamlessly to the place of origin. And we are saying all these elements, components, need to be considered in claim of all the modes. Complementary interventions, the strategy has been adopted by the department. It has been integrated in the public transport strategy, which was approved by taking it at the beginning of this year. It's going to be part of the public transport action plan, which includes high-quality public transport service, public transport network. This integrates or includes bus rapid transport system, and we are talking of high-capacity buses, low-flow buses. That's what we are talking about. And, yes. Okay. Intervention, in terms of our initial intention, we're targeting metros because of their revenue capability. That at least by last year end of financial year, two accessible transport corridors would have been implemented. But the issue, the players or stakeholders are still in the planning phase to make this intervention. We also say we have to roll this, extend this to municipality in category B. Those that are, I think, in terms of the district demarcation in Structural Systems Act, some of you may be familiar, but we are saying those with lower revenue base could over time be able to meet those targets of helping and improving their strategic corridors. We also say refurbishment of the this process has started as it indicated, but what we are saying, we say the rollout has to be done with speed. It must be expedited. The issue of piloting, the issue of testing, I think we have long gone past that. The challenge is really moving with speed, the commitment and the leadership that is what is required.
Some of the improvements
in some of the interventions or implementation programs this the agencies and other players are now working on. The issue of road maintenance. If you look at the strategy, it's not only about movement, it's also about job opportunities. And that's a link in terms of indication on the upgrading, indication on the maintenance, indication on the building, refurbishment of the rolling stock. That also has an element of involving people with disability into the whole system. I think on the issue of governance, we talk of resource facilitation, coordination, and we talk of integration, awareness program, and also the issue of, cooperation, cooperative agreement, partnership. This we have to emphasize. But the same current funding stream of sources are the division of revenue, the equitable share, and maintaining this because we have to impress on the provincial authorities, on the local authorities, that the money that they receive through this system needs to be cognizant, needs to provide for the planning for people with disabilities. If that is not possible because of lack of capacity, we are saying ring fence a particular portion so that you could be able to realize some intervention. and be able to report on progress that certain things have been done. But if there's no ring fencing, no dedication of funds, then there will be lost in other priorities such as water, housing, and school education. The public transport infrastructure and systems grant, this is the grant to complement your municipal infrastructure grant, the MIG, commonly known as MIG, administered by the Department of Provincial Local Government. But this is mainly for the World Cup. The limitation, we appreciate this, is going to improve or increase some intervention. But the challenge, it has a lifespan. Beyond 2010, we have to have means of making sure that this money keep on flowing, keep either being integrated in the DORA or in the equitable share. But we are saying the money will elevate the status in terms of at least improving and providing infrastructure and services for people with disabilities. The tax recap, which has started the limitation, we know it. We should not go there. Other life, yeah, provincial support in certain areas, especially where the presenter from it are seated indicated. We see that, but we want this to be a uniform approach in the country as a whole. So what we are saying is that the strategy, as I've indicated, is being integrated in the present public transport strategy plan, which is popular and I think most of you may be aware of. And we also say the internal exercises intervention need to be integrated. And there is a task team recently introduced and it met in July. This includes the Office on the Status of People with Disability in Presidency. But the rationale for me is to spearhead or drive the element of heading accessible transport policy and ensure that monitoring and dedicated resources is allocated to some of these interventions. The bus contract. We require further internal discussion on this because really this is very discriminatory, inclusive, and yes, I think the principals need to be made aware of such limitations. While we are having some non-motorized infrastructure planning guidelines, this is what is being used to reconstruct or to redesign the pavement, not just a pavement or pedestrian walkways, but what we are saying here, it also provides a number of safety, road safety measures, and these we are integrating. But the national also remembering that it provides leadership, it provides some demonstration projects. Implementation in terms of the constitution has to be done by municipalities. What we are doing and what we are trying to emphasize, we are rechanneling, we are redirecting, we are also ensuring that their plans provide for this. But this we have to continue promoting until we see proper implementation by the relevant authorities. Let me skip some of these, but critically is for the House to recognize that there were very well-thought interventions and key performance areas with regard to the accessible transport strategy. And I think we have just indicated some of these are underway. Some of them, they have started, but in certain areas, yes, we are saying we have to move with speed and also cover other areas. Complementary processes. This is made about the costing framework, which is available, which is on a spreadsheet model. The formula is scientific, well-calculated, and you can put number of variables and weight so that you can cost and plan your intervention operation. Development of an accessible transport policy so that the planners, the service providers do not do as they please. They are being governed by a policy, but most importantly, there must be law enforcement so that these policy and regulations are being monitored and undertaken. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. I must admit that to really understand, I don't see what the department is really doing to make transport accessible to people with disabilities, and that I couldn't grasp from your presentation. I couldn't get the sense that the department is really working to make sure that the transport are accessible. No examples were given. Practical things were not given to us, and what practical things has been done. And then secondly, that letter from the bus company said, like I said earlier, that it looks like they are putting the responsibility on the department. The modification of the buses is left in the department's hands to be done. What is the department doing to work with the bus association to make sure that those transport means are accessible? Like we had a couple of years ago in Cape Town, we had a pilot project where a few buses that really was on the southern suburb routes were accessible, and that whole project was stopped. We do not know why that it stopped, was it successful, what was the reasons for that, was it a lack of funding. We're really interested what happened to that pilot project and why didn't it continue. And I also do not see any costing. This whole document was presented to us. What was allocated to try to make the transport accessible for people with disabilities? There was no allocation to the costing that has been done, especially to people with disabilities, to make the transport accessible. Honourable members, you have your hands up. Is there any questions from your side? Honourable Bongani?
No, thank you very much, Mr. President. I have a few questions. There's only two. I don't get a sense. I'm not sure this. Okay. I don't have a sense, Mr. President. On the
Can the honourable member continue? Are you listening? Can the honourable member continue?
Oh, okay. I don't have a sense of the plan and the deadline, because in front and at the end of the presentation, I don't see. When you talk about the integrated transport system, you say, by this time, we would like to see that this has been done. You understand? Because my thinking is that I want one day in South Africa, I was out of the country. I think I was in Switzerland. I only used one ticket. I bought a ticket somewhere next to a bus terminal. I bought a ticket, I drove with that ticket to the bus, I went into a train with that ticket. That is an integrated system that I understand. I don't have a sense when do you say this is going to happen. And you find that within some of these stations, you found buses immediately go out of the train, you don't go miles to get a bus. Go out of the train, get a bus. Take a bus somewhere, you get a taxi. Very simple. Effective. You know, planning and so forth. So I don't have a sense in the presentation in terms of that. Secondly, in your interventions and your key performance, you know, indicators or KPIs, you have put deadlines there. I don't know what happened. There's a deadline that is saying 2004-2005. I'll read it, I wrote it here. Implementation of at least two accessible transport corridors by municipality A's by end of 2004-2005 financial year. Where are we now in terms of that plan?
is that plan success? I mean, is that plan successful? Everything is completed. On municipality B's, you said 2005, 2006, we've passed that. What happened with that? Where are we now? In C, Group C, or Category C, you said 2006, 2007, where are we in terms of that? Those are the two questions that I wanted to ask. Thank you very much. Oh, and the last one. What is the problem of the department in relation to the subsidy for taxes, for tax industry? What is the real problem? You know, I'm asking this question to a department of government, a government of the people. And this industry is transporting the poor of the poorest, for an example. And most of these buses that are subsidized have been highly subsidized, even the trains, by an apartheid government, deliberately so. You know, which it knew that most of the people who are going to be using such, they're going to go out. Even the routes were subsidized highly, you know, by this government. So what is our own government doing for this particular industry to make sure that it booms and also make sure that our people can take it? Because that is why when the petrol goes up, you find that prices of the taxes, they also go up. And when petrol goes down, it doesn't go down. Because there is nothing that they are receiving. What is the problem of our government in terms of funding them, of subsidizing them? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Honourable Mock.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, yeah, I think maybe we don't have enough time for this presentation. Maybe the department will have to revisit our committee again. But I just want to ask one question. I've said this in the portfolio committee. I've said it earlier, and I want to say it again. This department, when it comes to transport, in particular for disabled persons, transport that will be accessible, that will be friendly, that will be safe. When can the department safely say, or in terms of deadlines, that we are now satisfied that we have delivered on your request? Thank you.
More members, do you want to ask some questions? None. Thank you. I have one more question from my side. Under your presentation, linked to challenges that you have mentioned, I've seen the lack of policy and to accessible transport and lack of commitment by politicians and head of departments. And I see lack of capacity in technical skills in local authorities and lack of and a common definition of disability and disabled people. 10 or 13 years ago, we had the INDS. We have the definitions in there. We have our need for transport in that document. Why are you mentioning all of these challenges? If this is of those challenges still there, what are you doing about it? Honorable Mott himself is disabled. He sits in the Portfolio Committee of Transport. Nothing has been done. That's why he's bringing it to this committee to take it up. So thank you. I'm giving over to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Chief Secretary. I must indicate that perhaps I go back to my statement to say I am, or let us say, as the department is mandated in terms of its existence to take care or to implement transport, which has to be saving all the citizens of the country. I think that is the primary standpoint why the department exists. But without going into details as to why the department has enriched some of these strategic intervention in terms of programs that are practically being undertaken, where people with disability could be enjoying these services as we talk, especially after the promulgation of those the integrated policy by the president, as well as the white paper on national transport policy. But I want to start by responding to the second last comment to say it would be very, very much appropriate for the department to come again and present and have a different presentation which could be very focused and be specific on the modes. Take an example of the tax recap. Also to say the department has to make a decision also. It must consult with also its structures, provincial MEPs, etc. Why are they not subsidizing tax recap? Why are they still promoting the past arrangements of transport system? As an internal person, I do know some of the challenges, but I think it will be appropriate that we get appropriate answers from the DG as well as other things from the DG, because she will be talking or speaking for the department as a whole. But why I did not include specific projects with regard to the bus program, with regard to the taxi program, is because those programs are being managed or are being run concurrently, and to respect this house, would it be more appropriate that detailed technical timelines, budgetary allocation to those programs are being presented and interrogated thoroughly. For me, as I've been talking from just a strategic point of view, and for me, it indicated some of the information that I have, such as the public transport action plan, which is a vehicle or mechanism to implement the strategy through the allocation of 14 billion. I think for me to come up with the figures again, it has to be well scrutinized and well presented. So I'm trying to say the recommendation of the department in coming here to present and indicate why it has not met the timeline as indicated to be much welcomed.
Honorable
Bhagani,
you're
kind of up? Yes, thank you very much. Now, may I ask the Major? I was not aware of the brief in the letter and so forth, but it does not say anything. And moreover, departments, they know. They know very well that they come in this parliament by a sense of parliament. An authority supposed to be here. So we don't want to fetch someone. We want to take decisions. We want people that are going to take decisions. So it's going to be unfair for us to scrutinize you because you don't take decisions. But you accept decisions. So I'm going to propose a question that the department must be called very soon. Because these issues are very, very, very important. And these policies have been adopted a long time ago, and we find such issues. That the DG should be here, the CFO should be here, and all other structures that are linked to this particular process. For example, we had this structure. It's what SAC Yeah, so those traffic structures, and then we can deal with this. So I was proposing that, Chairperson, that maybe we will close the meeting. We know that as soon as possible, the department must be here, the DG, Chief Financial Officer, because we want to know about the budgeting process. Lack of funding, who is a lot of things here, lack of funding, what. So I think it's very important that we change that route. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. I think we will finish this meeting. I will thank you that recommendation. I mean, our meetings are tightly scheduled. We have no scheduled times. We've already called them, and it has been approved. The brief was given as to the reason. They will then have to put into the fourth or the first year's program of next year. So they knew the brief. That is what was. I think we knew the brief, and I think we need to just, I don't know if they're going to answer questions, finish answering the questions, limit and closing. Over to you, if you can just finish answering the questions. Thank you.
I think on the question on KPA, key performance areas in relation to those municipalities and the numbers. Where are we? What is the status? Again, the issue, or let's put it differently, the number of planning processes, I think taking from the National Master Plan, National Transport Master Plan. The National Transport Master Plan, together with the public transport action plan, is going to, it has a phased approach in terms of is a 2020 implementation action plan of the public transport strategy. What it does, it has categorized most of the interventions in terms of serious or short, classified in terms of short, medium, and long-term phases. And in these phases, what we also have the accessible starting in the first phase, also in phase two, which has been given a period of 5 years, is also being included. The last phase, which runs up to 2020, that's where the principle of total concept and high-quality bus rapid transport is being provided. So to say, where are we? These interventions are being incorporated in the implementation plans which will be rolled out. And some of these interventions are being implemented by the SARCC, as we have just indicated, in certain municipality aids. I think that would be the response to KPAs in relation to the municipalities. But also to say the presentation plan does not provide for issues such as integrated ticketing system. The integrated ticketing system is included in the public transportation plan. The standard implementation process, which I have mentioned, also provides for that. Why the pilot in Cape Town was stopped. We have undertaken an evaluation study on the pilots. They were happening in Cape Town, Pretoria as well, and I think in KZN. But what has happened is that as a pilot, it was just to introduce the issue of dedicated transport services. And we've realized that it was not even sustainable because it was still discriminatory. It was stopped because it was a pilot testing model, demonstration model. But what has happened in Cape Town in particular was the continuation of the Dial-A-Ride. Dial-A-Ride has been continued in terms of funding from the previous national, provincial, and municipality. Still, we are aware of the limitation of Dial-A-Ride. It is not
cost effective or affordable to the majority of the transport users? I think the other question is, what is the transport department doing for buses to be accessible? Again, as a strategy, provide guiding framework principles in terms of modes, operation, infrastructure. The issue of funding or subsidization of buses, including taxi, is still the same, and I think it's a departmental decision, discussion has still to be undertaken, and based on that, the final position or political decision has to be shared in this committee. Thank you.
Honourable members, so there will not be any more questions then. Okay? No? I just do have one question. I want to know, the Dana Ride project, can it be expanded? I'm sure you heard the Honourable Andrew was saying that there's only 155 disabled people at the moment benefiting from that. I know there was a mention of 10 million rand, and then is that injection of that 10 million rand, apparently only right now, 40 disabled people within benefit from that service. So can that project then be expanded? Secondly, the taxi association was saying that they didn't want something only that only caters for people with disabilities. They wanted a more integrated system. Maybe I missed something, but can the department work with the taxi association regarding that so that to make more taxis, not at their expense, but at maybe at government's expense, to make more taxis because it needs to be more accessible for people with disabilities? I'm now sort of worried because you spoke about the various phases and ended in 2020. If I work out that it's about 13 years left, some of us will not even be here, maybe. So I just want to know, 2020 and phased in now, there's some important projects happening in the near future. So it means it will only take place in 2020 when it will be a fully accessible, integrated system then. Is that what you're saying? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think on the latter, to say the time horizon of 2020, this is what has been approved by Cabinet at the beginning of the year, to say Public Transport Action Plan, which is which makes provision for need for people with disability, has to be budgeted and has to be given some timelines. Those timelines, in terms of details, the breakdown, and the resources, is what is in the process now of being planned. Project teams have been put in place. That's one that I am part of. But what I'm trying to emphasize is that the confirmation or concretization by Cabinet through the Public Transport Action Plan is just to show that most of these projects are going to be happening and being managed from national. Again, to indicate the expansion of Dana Ride and the provision of 10 million as indicated. I'm afraid to commit because also direction and decision by the DG has to be made, as well as the issue of shifting of funds from certain programs which are not spent. I think the issue of chief financial officer is very critical to say reprioritize some of these interventions because they haven't happened. But what I'm illustrating is that plans, policies, Cabinet mandate, very recent mandate has been issued, and action plans are also being commenced in terms of execution. On the issue of working with taxi industry on the integrated system, I think again I support the issue of our major issue of integration, coordination and alignment. Alignment has to include all the operators, all the players. But all this alignment still is contained in the public transport action plan and action strategy. And all this amalgamation of systems, of plans, are in the process. The challenge is the when, and I think really we need still to go back to the response to say the DG must come and commit the wins. Times have been put, they have been approved, but when is action? That's what we're saying. So I think integrated system again is one of those. And consultations, I know they were happening with Santaco, but I think some of these answers really must come from the head of the department. Thank you.
Now, fine, thank you. It's a pity that the presentation wasn't the expectation, has not met the expectation of the committee. We will have to then see where we can put in the presentation, a follow-up presentation from the Department of Transport to have the DG and the CFO present. I want to say again that we will be calling people with disabilities themselves. They will be talking within, when we have our public hearings, they will be doing the talking. I hope that all that presented here today will be present here or send some a representative to come and listen to those public hearings. Maybe we can see how you yourselves can then answer various questions coming from that public hearing. This issue is a long, painful issue. We've got our constitution there, we've got our legislation, we have our policies all in place. And we have the INDS as well. But it seems like accessible transport is not happening. Last Friday, as I said before, we did an oversight visit at the OR Tambo International Airport, and there once again we saw that, you know, that it's not accessible. People out there have been contacting this committee, and many people, I want to say that many members of this committee is experiencing barriers in the transport arena. So I say this is just a start. We will now be calling, as I said, we will be having these public hearings. Thirdly, we will like to have a debate in Parliament regarding accessible transport for people with disabilities. We would like the Minister and the Department to answer us so that we can ensure that people with disabilities in our country do have accessible transport. Once again, thank you to the presenters. Members, thank you for those members, for your commitment to stand up to the law. So thank you, Honourable Bongani. Before I close, I see you want to say something else.
I wanted to say something to the minister. You've raised something about the bus industry. I'm not sure whether they gave you reasons why they're not here. And also you raised the question that the bus industry, what? They say the development is saying this shifting responsibility. We want them to say that here and come and stand for themselves. So I would like to propose that you write a letter to the same with words that I don't know what they will mean. Because if they do not respond to you, that they are apologizing for these particular reasons why they are not here, and just let us to sit here for them without a proper apology. I mean, Parliament needs to do something about it. We can't leave that to just go away. So I would like to propose that you write a letter to them. You find reasons, you re-invite them, and then if we get the Department of Transport, they must be here with the Department of Transport. Thank you very much.
The person who is supposed to be presenting from the Bus Association apparently is not in the country, so they could not look for someone to replace him to do the presentation. That was what they had informed us, but we will find a suitable date for it to come into the presentation. So thank you, members. Thank you. Thank you very much as well as to the members. We have people with disabilities who have come and listened to this presentation. So as this is only time for members to ask the question, We will inform you as to when you will come out to the public hearings and where you will be have the opportunity to come and talk about your experience here. You will get that opportunity. So please don't miss that opportunity of informing organizations as well. So thank you for your presence here. Members, thank you. So meeting is closed. Thank you.
Being here as much as possible, and I hope I will definitely see you again, especially with the public hearing, that you also can be your authentic representative. It will be great to have you here.
No, something better.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
They're gonna help you in your drafting of
the okay. Well, I don't. You guys don't need it. You need to submit these copies to the PMG.
Yeah.
But what they want an e-version. If you have an e-version, just put it on your